United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
In a very wrong world. until I was on Facebook, and I was like, holy crap, she is in California.
You found out I was there.
Yeah. I heard you were going on vacation, but I didn't know you were going all the way out to California.
Yeah, I did. I went to see, there was a lady that took care of me, and she was very, very dear to my heart. She truly is, and she had a birthday, and she's in her senior years, and I wanted to go and surprise her and tell her how much I loved her and spend some time with her. You know, you can't remember the people who helped you along the way, and that's something that we really need to get back to. People help you, lift you up, encourage you, are there for you, support you. And sometimes we as people, we forget people.
Exactly.
And you can't do that.
Hey. Huh? Oh, go ahead.
Hey, Private Carl, you're on.
Oh, it's Beasley. I had a problem getting on the computer, and I called in, and I didn't hear anything, so I pressed 1. Good morning.
Oh, that's because I forgot to hit the button.
Okay.
Sorry. Hey, Brown. You have to remember who your friends are, who supported you, no matter what.
That's what it happens sometimes when you have the people that helped you and supported you through your teen years, and then when you become an adult, you totally lose contact with them. Sometimes it happens, but it's sad that it does happen.
But it doesn't have to happen.
It doesn't have to happen.
I'm not talking about now. Let me say it this way: there will be friends that you have in high school.
Mm-hmm.
That you will grow apart from, and you'll see them at your class reunions if you choose to go.
Oh, yeah.
But then there are people who truly sacrifice their life or sacrifice for you to impact your life.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be a teacher, whether it be a boss, whether it be a neighbor, whether it be a friend. And even as you matriculate up in life, you should never burn your bridges.
Right.
And I'm not quite sure if those principles are still taught to young people today, because I don't know if they understand that burning bridges is not a way to climb, because you never know when you have to go back and cross that same bridge all over again.
And because sometimes you need their help again.
That's true. And then you need to pay it forward.
Exactly.
People helped you along the way. People helped me along the way. I may not be able to ever do anything for them, but when I get a chance, I can try to pay it forward.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I think that's a principle that we all need to embrace as Americans, because we sometimes forget.
Right. And, you know, I'm still young, and I still try not to forget the people that have impacted me. For example, you. And when I go to college, I'll make sure I never forget Tracy.
No. My question is, when you become, you know, the next mini, mini Rush Howard Stern,
Will
you answer my call?
Not Rush either.
Not Rush either. But will you answer my call? The question is,
of course, I would invite you into the studio for a whole week if you wanted to be on. Of course I would. You and Jeff both. And Sticks as well.
And Sticks, you're going to invite us all into the studio?
I would invite you all, because you've helped me out so much.
I get invited to the studio.
Of course you do. If I'm really big, I'll even send a limo to pick you up.
No limo. I want you to send a car with a bow on top saying, it looks like a radio mic or something.
A bow that looks like a radio mic.
Yeah, something on that order, you know, something.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
Sun's finally out.
I have a question for you. I got beat up last night.
What are you talking about?
I talked to my friend of mine in California, and when I came back, I was talking about everybody has a picture of Barack Obama on the wall.
In California?
Well, everywhere. Everywhere people have pictures of Barack Obama on the wall. And they just love, they're just in love with this guy. And I'm going, but what's he doing for you? I don't care. I'm like, okay, you don't care. And so I got beat up last night. And my question is, how many people do you know that have Barack Obama's picture on the wall?
I'm from California. I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead, Brown.
No, go ahead.
I've never seen anybody with the picture of Barack Obama on the wall. I haven't been to a barber shop. I haven't been to anyone's home where there's a picture of Barack Obama on the wall.
In Detroit, in Los Angeles, and in Youngstown, everybody got a picture of Barack Obama on the wall.
You know what I got a picture of in my room? And it's going to be surprising to you.
What?
I still have the McCain-Palin yard sign hung up in my room, and I still have the Romney-Ryan yard sign hung up in my room. My dad came in and he goes,
turn off his mic. Okay, Brown, I'm not talking to him no more.
What are you talking about? I still have them up. And my dad came in and goes, AJ, do you realize that they both lost to Barack Obama? You know that, right? And they're still hung up in your room? I said, yeah, Dad, but, you know, it's just something I'll always keep. I don't know.
Ooh, Brown. What'd you say?
You got a picture of McCain in your bedroom?
Not a picture of him. His yard sign. You're crazy, Tracy. You're just crazy.
I understand. You got pictures of Brown and McCain and Palin. I don't know.
I still have a George Bush yard sign from 2004.
Well, I collect them. So
I collect yard signs.
I have a Bush. I have a Palin. I have McCain Palin. Mm. I have a Romney Ryan. Mm. I have a Barack Obama.
What?
Absolutely.
You have a why?
Because I'm smarter than a fifth grader.
I guess so. I don't have one of those.
He's the first African-American president. Absolutely. That's history in the making, whether I like him or not.
Yeah, that is something to think about. That is something to keep.
Absolutely. I have his yards. I have most of his paraphernalia that go through this campaign.
Huh.
I got stuff that people don't even – I got everything that they had. I got the platform, the process, the plan, the backup, the jobs, all that. Uh-huh.
Something to keep.
I got the newspaper.
Maybe it'll worth money someday.
That's the point.
I'm
a capitalist all day long.
Yeah. Pass it down.
It's open mic. The number is 347-945-5229. Want to got a couple things on my mind.
I do too.
I want to remind you, if you want to get your dog and your cat cleaned, call Joy over at Pet Spa. I'm going to go take my patches there this weekend. And it's a Pet Spa salon. It's a luxury and cat salon. Very few people do cats. Cats need to get done. Well, no matter what anybody says, sometimes you need to do your cat.
Yep.
So go and call Joy over at 330-758-4444. They are located on Western Reserve Road in Boardman, Ohio. The address is 1122 West Western Reserve Road. And tell Joy that you heard it here on Tracy and Friends. So what do you want to bring up? Because I got to talk about white supremacy today.
I was just going to – what?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, was it hard to adjust to the time change when you were over in California when you came home?
I wasn't there long enough to adjust.
You were there
way.
A while.
What, 3 days?
It would take me a while to adjust.
I was there 5 days. I traveled 2 to 5. That makes 3.
Have you ever been – you flew, I'm guessing, right?
Yes.
Okay, have you ever been on a commercial plane before besides
–
I've never been on a commercial plane.
Well,
you know
got to do that.
I've never done it. I've been on a private plane.
Well, that's pretty cool. I've never done private.
I have a couple buddies that own, well, not my buddies, my dad's buddies,
own
private planes. And
well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they are pretty cool. But I've always wanted to go up in a commercial plane. That is something I've always wanted to do.
Well, when I first started flying.
It's a fairly common experience.
When I first started flying, flying was a luxury.
Right.
When I flew this time, flying is like riding a bus with a bunch of people that you can't get off at the next stop.
Mm-hmm.
The seats are smaller.
Mm-hmm.
The leg room is shorter.
Mm-hmm.
They make you pay for – they used to give you a meal on the plane. Now you have to pay for the meal.
Right.
But they used to give you a nice size bag of peanuts, pretzels, and chips.
Yeah.
They sold me a bag of chips, and it looked like they blew air in it. And then threw a chip in it.
And how much did it cost?
$9.
$9? Jeez, it's like you're at a baseball game
or
something.
It was worth it. At least the hot dog is really, really good. You know, you might pay more for the hot dog, but you know the hot dog is great at the ballpark.
Yeah.
I got a little tiny, with it almost like White Castle burgers.
Mm-hmm.
They called them sliders, and they called it roast beef.
Mm-hmm.
They gave you 2.
Mm-hmm.
And they were as big as a slider. They were $9 with a bag of chips and a small cookie that was as big as your thumbnail.
Jeez. I've actually never been to a White Castle either.
That's right. I don't like them.
We don't have them around my area.
We don't have them here anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, that's not here.
Exactly.
Get your mic.
What?
Jeff. No, I don't like White Castle. I don't like onions and stuff. That's just no. But it was really it's like riding a bus. That's what I thought about. It's like getting on a bus going somewhere because you're going to fly there. It's not a luxury anymore. Even
right.
First class didn't look as luxurious as it used to.
Really? I wouldn't know.
Amazing.
I would not know. We drive everywhere if we go on vacation.
Well, that's okay. You got a family, and driving is a whole lot less expensive than flying.
Yeah, we drove down to Florida twice. We've driven down to Florida for vacation.
Do you know how much it would cost for your parents to pay for y'all to fly?
I guarantee you quite a bit, yeah.
You might as well get a bus, Gus.
How many?
I have 3 siblings.
That's five people.
Five times six.
Well, save a little.
Save a little?
Yeah, don't forget you can go down to Florida for $69.
They do have.
You got to rent a car when you get there.
And?
Well, I have family down there.
Oh, still got to rent a car.
So, well, the farthest, I drove out west. We went to Joplin, Missouri for a mission trip, and we drove 17 hours to get there.
How many people went?
I think 10 adults and 10 kids.
See what I'm saying? No. That's,
yeah.
Because right now, flying back east, I mean, the rates are just unbelievable. Flying back west, the rates are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's based on fuel charge.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
summertime also.
What'd you say?
It's summertime?
Summertime?
It's summertime. It's vacation time. Fares generally are up.
So it was really amazing. But I had a good time.
I'm glad you had fun.
The overcast never lifted, so I didn't get to see the mountains like I wanted to, coming over the hill.
How hot was it there?
It was I don't think it got any more than 80 degrees, and it
wow.
was cold at night. But I want to know what happened here.
It was cold.
It was cold.
But I love it. It feels good.
No. It feels good, but we are not in autumn yet.
Who cares?
The trees say we are.
But that's what I'm saying. It's only August. It's August the 16th.
No, Tracy, it's global warming out here. It's
really hot
that the trees are molting, and it's so hot that you actually feel cold at night. That's what's going on.
That global warming, you know, it's been affecting Ohio quite a bit, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
That is the deal, man.
Yeah.
If you guys say so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. Of course we say so.
You have to say so.
They're being very sarcastic.
Aren't they really?
We're being very facetious.
There you go.
There's scientific evidence to support climate change.
But climate's
been happening since the beginning.
Like Larry the Cable Guy says, in the summertime, it's hot. In the wintertime, it's cold. It's called seasons.
I mean, that's
get her done.
That's been happening along the way.
I don't care what you say. That's funny, right?
I think I would almost think that Sarah Palin is a better authority to quote than Larry the Cable Guy, but.
Probably.
Carry on.
Right. It's just something funny.
I'm curious, what appeals to you about Sarah Palin?
What appeals to me about Sarah Palin?
Yeah. You mentioned that you still have...
McCain-Palin sign, yeah.
Howdy.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
What appeals to me to Sarah Palin, I think she's tough. I think she has more of a backbone than any male in the Democratic Party.
Oh, Republican Party.
Well, I'm
Democratic
both,
Party.
I'm saying both.
Okay.
Both Republican and Democrat. I feel like she doesn't get enough credit. I think that she's made out to look like she's dumb. I feel like she's made out to look like she doesn't know what she's talking about. But I think that she has a bigger backbone than anyone in the Republican or Democratic Party, any male.
And I'm going to help you out, AJ. The people who want to denigrate her don't want to go back to why 49 other governors voted her governor of the year at the governor's convention.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why they voted her that, and one of them had to do with how she handled the oil companies, the big oil companies,
mm-hmm.
and told them if they didn't use their leases, she was going to dissolve their leases on the property that they had leased out up there in Alaska. And not only that, they were going to make it so that there was profit sharing with the leases with the people of Canada, listen to me, of Alaska. Sarah Palin was a very smart, feisty woman, and I don't give a doggone who thinks that she's stupid because the news media made her out that way.
Well,
exactly.
Let me say it this way.
Well, do you feel the interview with Katie Couric?
This is the thing. Listen to all the foolishness that Barack Obama has said.
I didn't even get a chance to complete my question.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
All right, let's let each other complete the question at least. Do you feel that what was it called? What did she refer to it as? Gotcha journalism. That when Katie Couric asked her what publications that she read on a daily basis, and she said all of them, and she wasn't able to name any of the publications that she read. on a daily basis. You know, when she, do you feel that that was a, that was like a liberal conspiracy?
No, it wasn't a liberal conspiracy. It was a liberal smear. Because guess what? Barack Obama
did
the same
stuff.
Did you
watch it live?
Let him finish. You got to let him finish.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was a smear. I understand the one thing. If you don't live on mainland United States, you do not have the same contact, the same outlook as those that do. It's a whole totally different program. Alaska,
maybe 50 years ago, maybe even 40 years ago. In today's in today's age, the information age with the internet.
That's just not true.
But go ahead.
Let me put it to you this way. When you are doing an interview, you know, you might think it's kind of easy. We've heard President Obama say we had 57 states.
That's what I was going to mention.
It was a gaffe. It happens. You get tongue tied. You're thinking on your feet. You don't have any notes in front of you. You're trying to make an impression, and things happen. Sarah Palin, one, her handler, whoever was doing this, did not put her into the main stage properly. They mishandled her completely,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't do it intentionally. But sometimes you can't tell people anything. And that is a problem, because when I say that, you need to know who you're dealing with when you're dealing with them, and what they did was they put her into a shark tank, and laced her with bacon, and stuck her while she was out there, because that should not have been her first interview.
And it happens with politicians, and it also happens with radio hosts.
We all go
through it, where we're like, "Oop, I shouldn't have said
and
that."
And shouldn't have said it, and or misquoted, and or made a mistake. It happens.
You come back
and
apologize.
And actually, it's going to be stuff that you're very, very proficient on. I do have, you know, Sarah Palin has excused expression, but she has balls, and you have to give people credit for that.
Definitely.
And that's something that is not rewarded and or is celebrated in politics, especially by masculine men.
I still go back to one thing.
What?
49 other governors voted her in as governor of the year.
Did they do it because she looked good? That's a meaningless award. That means nothing. That award and $1.50 will get you a cup of coffee at Denny's.
Pardon me? It is credible because it's a
meaningless award.
It's meaningless awards when you're not getting it, but when your peers come out and celebrate.
Please.
And, wait a minute.
Let me ask all three of you this. Since this award is so significant, name me someone else that's won it. Who won it this year? Who won it last year?
I have to go find out.
But right,
it didn't matter
right.
because
so
he was all over the front of Time magazine for it.
It's a meaningless award.
Wait a minute. The reason why it's meaningless is because we haven't called up who won it this year. We have great governors across the state.
No one knows.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Because
we have great governors.
It's a symbolic award that's insignificant.
But no matter what, this woman actually, if you look at what she did as a governor of the state of Alaska, especially up against her own party as well as up against her opposition,
absolutely.
She was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
But let me also say this: just because she can't quote newspapers doesn't make her an idiot. Now there are a lot of things about. Let me finish.
Well, what it, let
there
me
are a lot of things about.
Does.
Hold
okay.
up, dude. Hold up. There's a lot of things about Sarah Palin that I have problem with. I'm not standing on the same side as Jeff and AJ with it because I don't applaud her for a lot of things that she did. I disagree with a lot of decisions she made after she got into the national platform. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying to you is, and I don't think she was prepared for where she was headed. But I don't think she's an idiot in any way stretch of the imagination. But I will say this. We need to be a little bit more compassionate as we look at people, with, no matter who they are, on what side of what the fence that they're on. Because everybody, I mean, Hillary Clinton, is she the greatest person in the world? Is she the greatest manager in the world? She's not managed anything. Yet we celebrate her like she's Queen Bee, King of the Hill.
I don't celebrate.
Drink water and some oil will get you down the street.
I don't celebrate Hillary Clinton. Is she?
But your media does.
Oh, you know.
What? They love
they
Hillary.
She's not celebrated on Fox News. She. I mean,
that's only one media outlet.
There's actually there's no comparison. There's the drawing Hillary Clinton into this, and I don't, you know, I'm ambivalent towards her. She's a politician. She's not. These are not principled people. These are pragmatic people. Okay?
Have you heard the new poll? Have you heard the conversations on the other news sources?
You're changing the conversation.
No, I'm not changing.
I was asking a couple of questions. I was asking you a couple of questions about Sarah Palin, and you've added Hillary Clinton into the equation.
For the fact that
she's a female, but apparently, from what I heard from the two gentlemen that spoke, the qualities that they admired about Sarah Palin wasn't her command of the issues. I commend her for standing up to the oil companies. I could commend her that. That's actually honorable. To do that, it took a lot of strength. And it took some initiative, and I commend her for that. Okay, but to what the gentleman just said, both of them, is what they admired about her is that. Well, you said she had balls. The young man said she had a backbone. Okay, and then you're interjecting Hillary Clinton into the conversation.
Let me finish my thought.
Let me
listen to WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mart Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mart Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number. 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com. Fit Family. Unique. Individualized and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A Youngstown State football player has been arrested on warrants out of Girard and Warren. Senior defensive back Dale Peterman was arraigned Tuesday on a 2012 warrant for marijuana possession and traffic citations, and another warrant this year for traffic citations. The 22-year-old was arrested and taken to Trumbull County Jail. He was later released. YSU's football coach says Peterman is suspended indefinitely, and he's letting the legal process run its course. Today, parts of Interstate 680 and Boardman will shut down for construction work. The ramp from 680 North to U.S. Route 224 will be closed through the middle of October. You can use Western Reserve Road to South Avenue as a detour. And a bad crash in Youngstown sent one person to the hospital. It happened yesterday afternoon. A Jeep collided with the back of a semi-truck at the corner of Himrod and Hine Street. Police are investigating the crash. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Are you looking to save money on your heating and cooling bills this year? Quality Windows can meet all your window needs while improving your curb appeal and increasing your home's value. Family owned and operated since 1998, Quality Windows lifetime warranted easy maintenance windows can save you up to 35% on your energy bill. They'll bring the showroom to you.
Hi, this is Kevin Goldberg, owner of Quality Windows. Call us today for your free in-home estimate at 1-800-863-9344. And you won't have to worry. There's no high-pressure, three-hour sales pitch with us. We don't require down payments, and we also have many different financing options available. And our prices start at just $179. And if you call in and mention this ad, receive an additional 20% off our Timeless series. And all the Quality Windows come with a true lifetime warranty.
Get your free estimate and more info at QualityWindowsLLC.com. 800-863-9344. Quality Windows. You've seen the rest. Now come see the best.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Why should you pay more when your air conditioner breaks after 5 p.m.? Ainsley Heating and Cooling won't penalize you for broken equipment no matter when it happens by doing what it takes to ensure your complete satisfaction. At Ainsley Heating and Cooling, we don't charge you any unnecessary fees. No overtime, no diagnostic, and no trip charges. That's right, same price day or night. Weekends, too. Call Ainsley Heating and Cooling now at 330-637-1911 or AinsleyHTG.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is Friday. It's open mic. And I'm back. And I want to thank Jeff for taking over for me while I was gone. AJ here, he sat in on Friday. And I want to thank Ben and Six for being here that following Monday and Jeff hanging in that Tuesday. I had a great weekend. And I am back here, and it's open mic. I see Alabama's out there in the audience, and I got a new guy from San Francisco named Brown Beasley.
You can call me Beasley. You know, just as I was completing my thought, you
I gotta go break, take a break. You gotta understand. I gotta pay bills.
I know.
I care less.
Conveniently, before I can make my
point.
I didn't miss the point.
Yeah,
I didn't miss the point. What
gotta do? What I gotta do? The point
oh.
is, I gotta go handle my business.
Right.
It makes it work.
Let me finish
my monologue before you jump on. I just said you were there. Alabama is on the line, and I gotta change the subject because it is open mic, and I gotta go to this Missouri mask.
Missouri mask.
It was a rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And they have a mask of President Barack Obama, and there are Halloween masks. They've had them since. I know there was one of Nixon. There's one of Carter.
I have a buddy that has a Barack Obama mask.
There's all the presidents have had Halloween masks.
Yep.
That's not new.
No.
Reagan has a mask. Bush definitely has a mask.
Yeah, definitely.
Bush 1 and 2.
Clinton.
And so somebody, they put it on a clown out in the middle of the rodeo.
Rodeo in Missouri.
And they said to go and take him down or something. And I wanted to know what you guys thought about that.
It's normal. I mean, I don't want to say it's normal, but it happens with every single president where you have the masks and they wear them on rodeo clowns, and it's nothing new, really, in my opinion.
Well, the NAACP called the Obama clown mask a hate crime.
Why a hate crime? I don't get what's the big problem here, Jeff.
It's about Barack Obama. That's all it has to be. To be a hate crime, it doesn't matter that they did 10 times, 20 times worse to George Bush just in the past, you know,
I mean,
15 years. But
every president has a mask.
I mean, Clinton had a mask. I mean, you know, Tricky Dick had a mask, and so did Reagan. I mean, they brought banks with Reagan's mask on.
Yeah.
I think what you guys are talking about, what presidents and political figures have ever since the history of this country, at the beginning of this country, have been subject to caricatures, cartoons, and you know, that's part of free speech. I don't think it's a little disrespectful of the office.
It might be.
It's a little.
Is it a hate crime?
It's a little disrespectful of the office. It's not really. It's not what happened. Is not really. It's nothing positive. It's not doing anything good. But it's also free speech, and it should be allowed and accepted. Do you remember when Bush was in office and the Dixie Chicks, who I'd never heard of before, they said something to the effect of, you know, they just really weren't too happy to be from Texas and associated with George Bush. They caught a lot of flack.
For themselves.
Well, they caught a lot of flack for basically doing the same. They caught far more flack than this incident.
So why?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, the right and his supporters at the time, the right and his supporters at the time, felt it was a heightened period. It wasn't that long after September 11th. It was probably within a year of September 11th. And the right, you know what's disingenuous about the right?
Here we go.
And I thought about it.
Well, please.
Well, let me. Well, you know, I just don't. Yesterday I was on the show, and people appreciated that I brought a different perspective.
I just wanted to hear what you got to say.
Oh, I
okay,
you.
All right. I've already thought this through. I'll agree that what the recent revelations about the NSA is alarming. It's unconstitutional. It's wrong. It doesn't matter who's doing it. I spent a little time last night trying to research that when the spying was going on. Okay. And it's the same thing, okay? This is a continuation of the same policy that was introduced by the Bush administration, that there was no one on the right, no one. I can't find it anywhere on the net, and it's not that long ago, that there was no one on the right that was speaking against this. And if something is wrong, it's wrong no matter who does it. So when people selectively choose, and that's a disingenuousness. That means.
But can I ask you a question? Hold on, because I want to get to Alabama too. But my question was, they said that it was a hate crime, and my problem is you can't have a hate crime if you've done it for everyone else. So either you do it for some or you do it for all.
I don't agree with that. It's not constructive.
You don't have to agree. I'm not asking you to agree. Right. What I'm saying is the NAACP is calling this a hate crime. Why is that a hate crime?
Who in the NAACP said this?
The president of the NAACP in Missouri. They're really outraged about them having a Barack Obama mask on a clown at a rodeo. And what
if you take into the consideration, now I'm not a supporter
Alabama,
of Barack Obama.
But the question is, my question is, why are we allowing them to race bait this put stuff into stuff? Because see, the problem is, anytime you say anything about this president, it becomes you don't like him because he's black.
Anything.
I don't agree with him because he's black. I want him out of the office because he's black. I don't like his policies because he's black.
Are you denying that there are people that are opposed to him and really do not like the idea of him?
But the majority of the people,
you will not
let me ask
the question.
I've had you on for the last 45 minutes, and I want my question. I'm not trying to get you to answer I want you to answer my question. My question is,
why you're getting a little irate.
Because it's my show and I can.
That's fine.
That's why
all
it's
right.
called Tracy
but,
and
but,
Friends.
But I think.
So again, my question is because I'm having a problem with this. I'm tired of people putting race into an equation that it shouldn't be in, based upon they don't want you to get to the facts because they don't want people to have the truth.
No.
When you talk about health care, the reason why we don't like health care is because he's black. The reason why we don't like this is because he's black. No, it's bad policy. My question is, why is it that we love him because he's black? And we don't question anything he does because he's black.
You have to love him because he's black, Tracy.
I don't get that have to.
It's politically correct. And the man has not answered a question yet. The reason why that the Dixie Chicks caught hell for what they did is they did it on foreign soil. They went overseas and denigrated the president in another country. And they should have not been allowed to ever sing again, if you ask me. That's my opinion. Now, this is not racist. This is what they do. And it may have been some racist tendency to this, because I don't know.
There are people that don't like him.
Rodeo goers.
Listen, there are a lot of people that don't like him because he's black. But guess what? They don't like me because I'm black either. And they're just bigots. They're racist, and they are who they are, no matter how you slice it.
You don't need the feds coming in because of this. When I showed a picture with Bush being hung in effigy, with Bush with a swastika on his forehead, with Bush with horns coming out of his forehead, with Bush with a knife stuck in his forehead, I can't tell what the other one was.
Jeff, my question is, you can't even say you don't like his policies.
This is what I'm trying to say. And there's
of
more.
Of course you can.
Monkey.
Of course you can. Of course you can say you don't like his policies.
No,
I'm
you
doing
can't.
It. You're doing it. Of course you can
say
that.
Yeah, because I'm black. I can. And I ain't going.
Well,
I ain't on CNN. But you ain't heard nobody on CNN, MSNBC. As a matter of fact, every time they open up their mouth on Fox, they call Fox the new racist station.
Right.
Yep.
And while we're getting caught up in the color of his skin, we're not listening to the policies and the procedures and the plans and the executive orders that he's doing that's destroying a lot of the fabric of our country.
This was all
even in the Middle East, if you look what's going on in Egypt, nobody's paying attention to what's going on there.
This was all predicted in the election of 2008. If you didn't like Barack Obama, you were racist. And this has been going on for the past
5 years. Oh, my God, that's not true.
Absolutely true.
I don't like Barack Obama for what he stands for, and for his continuation of the same Bush administration policies. When he spoke, when he campaigned totally different, he spoke it one way. He's not a person of principle. He spoke it one way, and when he became into office, he continued the exact same policies.
You know that. I know that.
There's more in common between these administrations than there are things that are different.
And you're right. But the question is, you don't hear anyone speaking out as they should
about a lot of the policies that are going on in this administration.
We're speaking out right now.
No, man, listen. I'm on Blog Talk. I'm on iHeart, and I do not have millions of listeners. But on mainstream radio, you do not hear the dialogue. This upcoming Sunday, what will the topic be on the Sunday news shows?
I have no idea.
It won't be that President Obama has been an ineffective leader, and right now we are steering this country into a place that we should not be going.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have a Congress that's just run amok, and we don't know what the heck they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a foreign policy that if we're not careful, we're going to have a powder keg over in the Middle East coming out of Egypt.
And we still haven't got the answer from anyone. Is why was this a hate crime?
I don't know. I just read an article.
Well,
why? Because you put on a mask of Barack Obama and put him on a clown, and I believe they said something like kick him in the teeth, beat him in
the head. Well, no, run him over.
Run him
you
over.
Do you want to run Barack Obama over is what they said. And the thing is here, I'll say it like this. I thought it was tasteless.
I did too.
What they did. It was very tasteless. Mm-hmm. I thought there was some tinges of racism, especially the tail being put on him.
They put a tail on him?
They put a tail on him.
I didn't know there was a tail
on
him.
Yeah, my pastor friend from Cleveland, I mean, brought that one up.
I didn't know they put a
tail
on him.
Yeah, and so I showed him the pictures of Bush, and he had to shut up. He couldn't say nothing else. But anyway, the thing is it was tasteless. It was wrong. They went a little bit too far with it. But tell me that it was any less than what they did to Bush. Bush has been denigrated in many different ways versus what they've done to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sick of the double standard in the church community. I'm sick of the double standard in the black community. And I'm really sick of the double standard in the white community as well. Because everybody wants to judge things by their own view. And that's fine, instead of what's fair. That's the thing. Or what's right? Let's put it that way. What's right?
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic. I wanted to talk about that. I'll come back to my. I got a problem over here. I'm trying to read this article on white supremacy and hip hop music.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know is white supremacy taking over hip hop?
Hmm.
And so I'm
taking it over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking it over.
Yeah.
When was it ever owned by anybody else?
Well, that's not the point. We got to read.
That is the point.
No, Jeff, I got to read the article because they got folks with hoods and stuff on. So I got to read a little bit more in the article. And also, this Robin Thicke. Why is Robin Thicke suing Marvin Gaye and his family?
Because of what I said a long time ago. He stole Marvin Gaye's song and he stole Prince's style of singing. Of singing sexy things in a thing.
But why is he suing them?
Stop them from suing him.
So, what is this?
This is preemptive suing.
What country are we living in?
He took the music. I mean, it's straight up Marvin Gaye. You can't get away from it.
I told you after we talked about that one Friday where we spent almost the entire time talking about music, I went home and I listened to Marvin Gaye, and then I listened to Robin Thicke, and I was like, this is basically the same person right here.
That's right. So it's the same song.
Exactly.
So, but my question was, I can't believe Robin Thicke is suing Marvin Gaye's family.
But I don't get what you mean by he's suing them before they can sue him.
He's trying to preempt them from suing him.
So if he sues them, that's just crazy.
Well, that is crazy.
He's going to lose, I believe. If he doesn't, that is something I will boycott the song.
That song is too catchy. I love it too much.
You should have heard got to Give It Up when it came out way back in 77.
It was before 77.
77.
No. It had to be before 77, Jeff.
Why you guys always want to argue with the man
that
knows
it had to be before 77.
It was not before 77.
It was 77, I remember.
I remember it well.
You old people.
I was in the service.
You old people.
And it hit that summer.
So did this one.
That's the one that hit.
I know. Is that
so
right?
Hold
what
on.
Song is this?
That's got to give it up. Now that's the same. Now Blurred Lines is the exact same.
See
music.
What he said?
That's Blurred Lines?
No.
No, this is Marvin Gaye.
Okay. No, I don't. I didn't. I'm just now getting aware of the controversy right now. Like I said, there's too much. There's too much information out there.
I put it out a few weeks ago.
We talked about it, and I knew it was remember because we were trying to get the right name, but I didn't know. I mean, think about that. How you ever gonna sue the man and the man did? And you know you didn't figure that up. You didn't figure that up on your own.
From Elvis to I Want to Sex You Up Boys and Backstreet Boys, all of them, they all do one thing that they must do to make it.
What's that?
Steal black music. You got to. You can't get around it.
I don't know.
I don't know about it. I can prove what I.
I mean, I'm just saying. And this is Marvin Gaye. I mean, if you want to really. Why didn't he just go and ask the gay family and to buy them the royalties? I mean,
that's what I thought.
That's why I said,
country are we living in?
Or whoever that much money for your hit song. You want to live on that yourself.
But he didn't even write the song. Pharrell wrote it.
It's such
Pharrell.
A good song. I could listen to it all day. It's on my iPod. Everybody get up. It's a good song.
He could have just gone and paid them a couple pennies on the hit.
Hey, hey, hey.
Why they have naked women in the video?
Because the falsetto is Prince.
I said, why the naked women?
Did you hear what I said? Prince had naked women playing on the stage with him. What you talking about? I'm going out of my mind. Oh, here was you was close.
Why do y'all have to do that?
Domestication.
I would go, hey, you're
an animal.
Jeez,
the girl is in your nature. Just let me liberate you. that man is not your maker.
I'm so glad that I do not go to concerts with you guys.
That's why I'm going to take a good girl.
I'm taking
I know you want it.
I know you want it.
I know you want it. You're a good girl. You're left in plastic.
All right, I'm done with them. I'm done with all that. Alabama, what's going on, darling?
Hey, Nen, what's happening?
Man, they're trying to ceremony. Now you know they can't sing like Robin Thicke, right?
Please.
Now,
Robin Thicke.
You know what's funny? I'm going to tell you what's funny.
Marvin Gaye.
The girls from Alabama State.
Robin Thicke. Yeah?
Robin Thicke just invited the girls from Alabama State, which is like the black college in my hometown. They in his video, and then he just flew them up to the VMAs last weekend. So,
funny. Naked before him now.
He gonna steal the music. He gonna steal the girls.
Well, it's like you know these black colleges had the best female dancers you ever want to see, like pretty. So they it's called a Stingettes because they're the Alabama State Hornets. And the Stingettes are, they come out with the band and they dance kind of like majorettes, but a lot better. So they come out and they got their little outfits on and they getting it out there. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Motors outside, probably.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
So they just call the Stingettes. Well, you know when you go to
a
football game at a black university, it's all about the band. It's definitely not about the team.
Yeah, I mean black colleges will put out some cornerbacks, but that's about it. I mean we got speed and we don't got nothing else. So
Tracy,
yeah,
forgot to tell you this. Not trying to get off the subject.
Yeah, you are. Go ahead.
216 caller that calls in normally.
Yeah.
216. I really like that guy. I like him. 216, if you're listening, I really like him.
He called in yesterday.
I had a good conversation with him on the phone. He's a good guy. Also, Not So Blind Mike. I like him, too. I just thought I'd mention that right now. Alabama, I like you, too.
But I like all of our callers.
I like all of our callers, but I just want to say that. I love the regular people that call in because I love hearing from you guys.
You don't like me, AJ?
I like you.
You just got on yesterday, man.
I've never talked to you until today.
Yeah, you're new.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking if you like me. You mentioned everyone else.
Well, we didn't. You're new here. We don't know you.
I actually didn't even know you were still on the line.
We don't know you yet.
I didn't even know you were still on the line. But
he's still there because you ain't met Diva yet. Diva's in the middle.
Bless her soul, you know.
Yeah.
Bless her soul.
Hey, listen, I gotta take a break. You guys want the mics on or off?
Leave them on.
Always leave them on. Don't ever put us on. I won't hear them commercials. I don't live up there.
Well, okay, all right.
Well, I want to hear about somebody come there talking about some howdy howdy. I don't live up there. When I come up there, then I listen to them.
Hey, you leave Charlie Staples alone.
That's right.
Hey, they good people. I ain't saying nothing about them. I'm just saying. I live way up. Look, we in Alabama and all the way out in Texas and L.A. Anybody trying to come up, you know.
Now, there you are. Y'all ought to do like Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby comes all the way here for our ice cream. I don't know why you're playing.
Yeah.
That's right.
We got good.
Look here, when I get that Bill Cosby money, I'm going to come up there and do a show with you. How about that? Oh, shoot. Who on the mic? Who on there today? Who on here?
I'm Beasley's here.
She look like you the only one.
Yeah. You know, I listened to the show from yesterday.
Oh, you listened to it again?
Yeah. Couldn't sleep.
Oh, okay.
I let it play. And, I handled them folks.
You handled it.
Handle them.
I mean, as far as you were talking about the corporations yesterday,
you know, and they fought that.
No, you know what though? Honestly, I kind of felt like they. I think Tracy. I don't know for sure, but I think she's been involved in some sort of government, and once you've been involved, you believe in the system. You actually think that you can do something. You think most people do, not all, but a lot of people. So I think that's where she was coming from, and that she believes that. You have to. She preaches that a lot. We disagree on it, but she preaches that.
She told
you need to get involved and you need to do this and do that.
Right, and I was the problem. I'm the problem in America. People like me that are cynical and apathetic because.
I don't think it's cynical to sit up here. If they're printing $100 billion a month and they're doing things and against our interests, and we're talking about, you know what, I'm going to run for office and get into this city council and think that I'm going to make. I just don't see it like that. I don't. I think it's
or I'm going to organize a little political group and we're going to raise money and we're going to influence policy. That's naive.
I think you can influence it to a certain extent. I mean, you can. There are people the fact that you have to have insurance was influenced by insurance lobbyists. I mean, now you have to. They literally force you to buy something, which is against your constitutional rights. You can't make me do anything now unless if I can show where I have the money in the bank, you should not force me to buy insurance. Even though it may be advantageous, you can't force me. That's the problem because that's like going in somebody's bedroom and say, hey, you have an unprotected sex. You have to have condoms.
I agree
you know, you can't
do
that.
I agree with you. And that's well, I don't know how it is in Alabama, but that's the law in California. And if I get behind or don't pay my insurance, my registration is canceled.
Well, let me ask you this. Why should you have to pay registration if the car is not changing hands and you buy the car? Why should you have to pay registration? Why should you even have to pay for registration in the first place?
It's a tax that state governments use to raise money.
Exactly. But why? Why? I mean, they use it because they need money to do other things, but I just think that's wrong. I think if you buy a car and you let them know, this car is registered in my name, that's all they need to know. Why do you need to come back every year and give them hundreds, some of them, thousands of dollars just to drive?
I've got three cars. I paid three of them. I mean, so, because it's just a way to raise money.
Just like tickets. I mean, I tell you, I have a personal.
I don't know how much tickets are where you are in Alabama. In Los Angeles, it's crazy.
I called Larry Elder a couple of years ago, and the lady said they gave her a $1,500 ticket out there in L.A. one time. So,
well, maybe she parked it. That might what it must be to park in the handicap zone. I parked my car was a little bit in the red. Okay, not a lot in the red. And it's a $90 ticket, and you really don't have any recourse when you call. You won't go in front of a judge to argue a parking ticket.
They once they get you, they got you. That's it.
Yeah, well, they got an automated system where you you enter in your information over the phone, and they tell you they'll get back with you, and, you know.
Well, one thing I found out about tickets is that when the officer issues a ticket, you're not really something. They're not really charging you. It's something when you go to court, or you have to adhere to.
All you're doing is making a promise to appear. Now, I've won moving violations in court for the officer not appearing. And
well, I had an officer say I did a California stop at a stop sign, and I disagreed, but I didn't.
A Hollywood stop. A lot of the times you're going to lose. It's a money game. It's a money game everywhere. The parking ticket I was talking about, you don't even get a chance to go to court. And when you try to appeal it, I just paid it.
Well, there are certain parts of my hometown you cannot go down. You will be harassed. They will follow you. They'll get up on your bumper. They'll try to make you speed up to get, you know, if you're driving at night and you don't know who's behind you, and you speed up, they'll get you. If you go, if the limit's 45 and you go 50, they lights.
There's places in Arizona, in the middle of nowhere, if you're driving through Arizona, where they have these little rinky-dink towns, and the way that they fund these towns is through speeding tickets. It's a way to raise money.
Now, on that right there, now, I do believe something can be done about that. I believe you can kind of – I ain't saying you can stop it, but you can – if you were in a state or at a state level, you can kind of quell the amount that they charge, because tickets used to be $100, $150. Now these tickets are – I mean, you know, you got people out here making $30,000 a year. You're giving them a $2,000 ticket. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
I think it's ridiculous that it's super expensive, and they'll impede your right to drive. In Scottsdale, in Arizona, which is a little suburb of Phoenix, I spent time there, and they have these auto tickets. When I say auto ticket, you drive through the 25-mile zone, and, you know, you're driving 25 miles an hour is actually pretty slow. It's easy to go 30, 35. It takes a picture of you. It takes a few pictures of you, and it mails you the ticket. And people were able to fight those because you never signed an agreement to appear. And they were rushing those tickets right through and going after people, putting them in collections. I was fortunate enough I read about them.
But they're about to start. I heard some municipalities are putting them on people's credit now, tickets.
I guess if you don't pay it. I mean, they've got these municipalities and state governments and county governments.
Let me get this straight. Okay, so if you go driving and you're unemployed and they catch you and they write out a $2,000 ticket, they can mess up your
$300 ticket. If you don't have no money, may as well be a $50,000 ticket. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can adhere to, if it's $150. Look, I mean, minimum wage person should be able to get their hands on it. But you're talking about $2,000-$3,000, then you're charging them $50 a month payment plan. Plus, you know, then you're putting it on their credit if they don't pay in a timely manner. Which, you know, I don't know. I just think it's getting out of hand. It's gotten out of hand because that's the Eighth Amendment says it's cruel and unusual. Like, you know, and a lot of times black people, to my, they hate the Constitution. I'm like, look, you take the Constitution away, you have no rights. I mean, you take that away.
I don't know anybody that says that.
I talk to black. There are people. It said the 3/5 of a man clause. They really get bitter when they see that. When they hear that.
That's the Dred Scott decision.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all can hear me. Okay.
Go ahead.
Well,
most people don't realize what that 3/5 clause is about, man.
I mean we all know it's for representation if you had read it, but right. I'm just saying, like, because it's what? It's in the first parts of the Constitution when you first start reading it.
Well, it actually is the Dred Scott decision, and Dred Scott was a...
It was not Dred Scott, my friend. It was not Dred Scott.
I think he's talking about something else. He's not talking about the 3/5 clause. I think Brown's referring to something else.
Brian, too, that's for sure. I think my mom even has a crush on Luke Bryan.
don't all of them have a crush on all of the country stars?
But I know Luke Bryan is one of the favorites, that's for sure.
Blake Shelton.
Oh, my sister had a crush on him for the longest time. She
wanted to meet Blake because I think he's so cool on the talent thing.
The voice.
Yeah. The voice. Yeah. He's so cool.
I like his wife there.
I don't like her.
I'm not a big fan of her music, but she's quite the woman. I like her.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. She's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean Tracy, this is music for where I live. So definitely, I like this kind of stuff. Oh yeah. Kidding me? Now I don't know his new album Crash My Party. I don't know the whole thing.
That was Crash My Party.
I know it was, but it wasn't the song Crash My Party. But I don't know his new album. Now that's a good song, the one that you just played before. That was I've actually never heard that song, but now that I heard it, I was like, wow, that's a good song. Yeah, it's catchy. I'll listen to that one.
I mean, you knew his voice right off.
Oh yeah, of course. Of course I do. I know every country.
Badunkadunk. You know Badunkadunk?
I gotta say that's a funky beat.
That is pretty funky.
For country,
country's hitting it.
Don't
forget, you also have Cowboy Troy still hanging out there somewhere.
I haven't heard from Cowboy Troy.
Well, I haven't heard from him, but I mean, you know.
South Carolina know about Cowboy Troy. I think that's his.
I'm sure he's moving around.
I like
Cowboy Troy selling himself.
My boy.
I like Cowboy Troy.
Hey, Tracy.
Yes, South Carolina. Hey, hold
Mr.
on.
Mr. Robin Stick.
Hey, whoa, wait a minute. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We want to hear from you today. There is open mic, Jeff is here, AJ's here. A guy named Brown Beasley is out of San Francisco, California.
Who I like.
San Francisco.
California, where he got, you know, fruits and nuts and Nancy Pelosi.
California. I told you, sending you to California.
That,
like
every time
name.
You mention that,
that
name,
I have to do
how did you identify with somebody politician because of...
We can find out what's in it.
And we also have Alabama and South Carolina. Go ahead.
Mr. Robin Fick has made a preemptory strike on because a lot of folks are starting to realize that his music, this new song that's gone
make us start singing again there.
Sounds a lot like Got to Give It Up.
No, South Carolina, you're mistaken.
Yes, it does.
South Carolina, you're sadly
like
mistaken.
Give it
Come
up.
On.
It does sound like Got to Give It Up.
No, it can't be.
Yes, it does.
No,
it sounds like it.
No, it doesn't.
Well, play
oh, my
it.
God.
All right, play it.
Tracy just acting crazy.
A lot of times when you make music, they build it off the tracks. So a lot of times you'll have 16 tracks running, and if you remove a few of those tracks,
you'll
hear the actual...
Seven bars is what it is.
I think
the cowbell sound was stolen.
Uh-huh.
The whole beat was stolen. It was sampled.
Oh, yeah.
You hear that?
This is the same thing.
Uh-huh.
So my question is, why did not Pharrell decide to go and take the man and say, listen, we want to pay you like they did, you know, Funkadelic and George Clinton with Snoop Dogg.
They can get away with it.
They made the Beach Boys give Chuck Berry $1.8 million.
Ooh yeah, he deserved it.
When?
Huh?
Oh, it's been years ago.
When?
This is probably about 10, 15 years ago.
Chuck Berry still living?
Chuck Berry died.
I don't know if he's still living.
I think he's still alive.
I know he got his money before he died.
I think he's still alive.
Oh, we're going to find out in a minute.
Yep. Let's find it out. Wait, Chuck Berry?
He's still alive. He's 86 years old.
What?
Amen for him.
Did you hear about this? Speaking of being dead and alive,
right.
What's her name, Tracy?
Who?
Kelly Robin from That 70s Show. She died.
43.
Yeah.
43 years old. What's her name?
Robin
Kelly?
Lisa Robin Kelly.
Yeah. Lisa Robin Kelly, she died. I could not believe that. Because I used to have a crush on her when she was on That 70s Show.
I never watched the 70s show.
Oh, I watched it for
you.
Know
what? AJ, you are definitely just a ball of raging teenage hormone. You know that?
Who just said that? Who was that?
Well, that's a good thing, man.
South Carolina. I'm 17 years old now. Come on.
That's what
I'm saying. Of course I am.
Now, I want you guys to know something. I'm not going to go there.
Not a thing.
I'm going to stop. That 70s show.
Yeah.
Tonight the... You know, they need to pay me for this one. But tonight the Butler comes out, and I'm going to go out and see the Butler.
I saw that.
And I want to see Jobs.
I want to see Jobs with Ashton Kutcher, because he was also on that 70s show.
Yeah, that's what made me think about it.
Both of them going to be local movies, though.
I want to go see Jobs.
Wait, I got a question. Are you surprised?
Oprah.
I mean, no. I mean, the liberals going to repaint Kennedy. We know Kennedy wasn't all just in love with black people. But when you watch this movie, he's going to be the good guy.
He's going to be in bed, little baby. Yeah, I think you're right, Alabama. They're going to really paint him as being in love with black folks.
Did you see that Ashton Kutcher's interview on, wasn't an interview, he accepted an award. Now I can't think off the top of my head what it was for, but he was just the other day.
Yeah.
He just got up there
Governor
and talked
of the
about
year.
Ashton Kutcher.
Brown, crazy.
Brown,
you are just... They were giving him a People's Choice Award or a Teenager's Choice Award.
Yeah,
the one where they give away the surfboard. Yeah.
And he went up there and he said, basically he just said, hey, you know, work hard, you know, be smart, think smart, and you are going to succeed in life. And I thought that I was like, kudos to him. That is a really, really good speech because he's doing this movie Jobs. And I guarantee you that when an actor does something like this, they really have to think about, you know, think about their character. So he really had to go into the mind of Steve Jobs.
Man,
so.
I think Steve Jobs was a bad boy. I hate it. He died at an early age.
I do too.
You know why he died on it?
Yeah, they killed him.
You know, they found the cancer early, but because he was iPod and iPad, because he believes in self, in his self worship, so to speak. So it's that's really
that'll kill you.
Yeah, he's I'm gonna heal myself mentally, and that's it. That's what killed him.
He also had liver cancer and all kinds of diseases. It's amazing they kept him alive as long as he did.
I agree.
Well, yeah, but he knew early. They found a lot. They found it early on. By the time it metastasized, because he didn't believe in
modern medicine. A lot of people are like that. Now we got to be honest about that. A lot of people don't see about them. The doctor will tell you something's wrong, and we go back and say, "I'm gonna be healed another way."
Yeah. Whatever.
It's real.
I'm gonna tell you like this now. There's nothing wrong with alternative medicine. It's just it needs to be alternative medicine. And there is a placebo effect. So, I mean, there is some truth to that now. So I just don't believe in just 100%. Like, I think Alex made a post the other day about we need to study the placebo. Why do people take a pill that they think is something and it works? Why is that?
It tells you the power of the mind.
Exactly. So there is something to it now.
And the power of a mindset.
It'll also kill you if you don't go see about it.
It'll kill you.
Unless you get to a certain point. There's another guy I read about that had cancer, and his was like stage 4. And he said he literally sat every day and meditated for about 3 to 4 hours and imagined the cancer being, and he said it, and it went away. He imagined that it was in his body. Mm-hmm. He meditated, and that's what he said happened. And it went away. So I'm not saying it's impossible, but
it's not impossible at all, and it's not necessarily a death sentence if you don't go see about it. It's a death sentence if you get caught in the middle of believing or not believing. And the thing is this world works by faith, and if you can believe it, you can really have it. But you better be strong and sure of your belief. That's the problem. But also, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't go get a doctor, because the Bible says he that is sick needs a physician. So I'm kind of with that.
Hey, not so blind, Mike. Your mic is on.
Yes, ma'am. I'm just listening to the conversation. I was going to say that if up on the 60 Minutes website, there is an interview with Bill Gates. Because he got to spend some time with Steve Jobs at the end. And Bill Gates said what Steve Jobs told him was his big mistake was that he spent 2.5 years in the beginning between denying he had it and then seeking the alternative, that he should have just put it all together quicker. But the other caller who said that he kept him alive for 5 years, yeah, 5 years after it was already a big mess was still a pretty good track record.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. I believe in adjunct medicine. I don't believe in alternative. Alternative means you do that instead of adjunct. And most good doctors who believe in some of the natural ways, along with chemo medicine, which is all medicine that's practiced for the most part in the United States because they want to give you a chemical right away, the two of them together work very, very nicely. And that's what there's an association with the word cancer in their title, and they have treatment centers all over the United States. I don't want to do a commercial here for them. But I've had friends who've gone there, and they said it's just amazing when you put it all together how well it works. Attitude, religion, spiritual.
I mean, when they said that the diet, I guess the American Medical Association says that the diet, they literally said diet has nothing to do with treatment of disease. And, I mean, they've kind of taken a hard-line stance, so it's kind of like, come on, now, that's just stupid. That's like saying vitamin C didn't heal scurvy back in the day.
Right.
Eating oranges. So that's just stupid.
And doctors that poo-poo you taking supplements and you eating healthy, here's the question, because I used to train in that industry, Alabama, and I've been in front of 500 doctors in an audience, and half of them are got that attitude. And I said, okay, if you don't think feeding someone nutrition while they're chronically ill, here, and I would pull up a copy of the what they call the PDR, Physician's Desk Reference, and I say, now this is all approved medical chemicals in here, and here's the AMA standards and practices. And I said, now, anybody know in here of any disease process where an approved treatment to open with is malnutrition and starvation? And that just put a lot of them right in their place. Then we're going to have a rational discussion the rest of the day. And I used to get right on it and stuff. And I did pretty well in that industry. I trained thousands of people around the world in that industry. I loved it. It was great.
Nay, the number is 347-945-5229. So that's all, it comes out tonight. I'm going to look forward to seeing that. I want to go out and see both of them. I want to see The Butler.
What is The Butler about? Yeah. Now, I only saw one preview for that.
There was a guy who worked for the White House, and he worked for 5 separate presidents.
Okay.
Which is a long stint of time.
To be working for
the White House.
I thought it was 7 presidents. Your short change is nice, Tracy. Don't short change his accomplishment.
who did it start with and who did it end with? What president started with and what
I think
president
it ended with, I think he started Kennedy and ended with,
no, he couldn't start with Kennedy. He was there before Kennedy.
Yeah. Eisenhower.
I forgot they had
Kennedy, Johnson.
What's his name playing Eisenhower? So
when did he leave? Reagan. He left at Reagan, right?
I guess. Robin
Eisenhower,
later.
Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon,
Ford,
the man
Ford,
that started handspring,
Carter,
Ford, Carter,
and Reagan.
That's
yeah,
six.
So he started in Eisenhower.
And Reagan. Okay, so it started with Eisenhower.
He left at Reagan? Or did he finish with Reagan?
He probably retired. You know, 7 presidents is a lot of work.
Now, has he gotten to comment? Is he still around? Is he alive?
No, he passed.
He passed. Okay, I was going to ask, did he comment?
I don't know.
Did he comment on the, if he's still alive, he would have commented on the movie making or would have been on the set or something like that.
Is that AJ?
Yeah.
Hey, AJ. It's Blind Mike. AJ.
How you doing?
Let me tell you something. They usually don't make a movie about you till you're dead. That way you don't negotiate the royalties so hard.
Well,
that's
a Blind Mike.
There.
That's a good one, Blind Mike.
What about when they make movies from books?
They did.
What happens when
they make
movies
from books? You better have your
when they had like the Hunger Games series.
He died in 2010.
Okay. Well, when they make the Hunger Games series, they had the author on the set with them, but yet they still didn't have exactly how the book was to the movie.
No,
buy the movie rights and they take some they take some poetic license to make it a little more appealing.
They feel would be more appealing.
And then the writer gets paid for the rest of their lives.
Right.
If I was an author and I wrote a phenomenal book and they wanted to make a movie out of it, I would make sure it was exactly I would want it to be exactly
to
the T.
Can't do it.
I know
you know what? I don't mean to start nothing.
But
I don't mean to start nothing, but you know the Matrix was stolen from this lady, right? Y'all heard about that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Black lady,
and Terminator.
AJ, if you go in with an attitude, they're going to tell you, well, sorry, but it's our $100 million making the movie. You wrote the book for $1.57 worth of paper. And that's what they're going to tell you,
and
put you in your
place. And we've got 50 other projects here in my desk, so
exactly.
Thank you. See you later.
But there is a gentleman. There is a gentleman out on the West Coast. So if you ever write a book and you think you want to turn a movie, you give me a call, and I'll hook you up with him because he's gotten over 1,200 books turned into movies or TV shows in the last 15 years.
Wow.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
How you doing this afternoon?
Good. How you doing? Welcome back.
Great,
I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah.
You're coming here. You're
going to
be here in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I'll be there every Labor Day weekend, you know.
All
right. Ready
for Weatherford call?
Well,
damn, I keep telling him to send me a W-9 form.
I was going to comment real quick about that's why with the whole buying movie rights, that's the reason why Ayn Rand didn't become popular until after she died, because they tried to make make a movie from her book, Atlas Shrugged, but she wanted the rights to or the authority to reject.
She wanted creative
the script.
Rights.
If the script didn't come out the way that she wanted. You know, she wanted basically directorial rights to pretty much veto anything in the movie, and they told her you're crazy, you know.
Well,
and the director that actually made Atlas Shrugged, they interviewed him, and he said, you know, this is his wording. He said that there's no way I'm giving you those rights. I'll just wait till you die, and then I'll make the movie. And that's exactly what he did.
Wow.
You know, and that's, and there's, if you haven't seen it, there's Atlas Shrugged Part 1 and 2, and I think Part 3 is coming out.
3 is coming out.
Well, two stories on that point. The family of Ian Fleming, who wrote all the James Bond, to this day, that family controls his intellectual property and what gets made to a movie and what happens in the movie. That family, matter of fact, I just saw it. It's a family succession story that I was studying. You know, what do you do when you build something successful and then you die and your kids take it over and your grandkids take it over? So it's an interesting story how they do that. But the all-time most amazing author that turned a book into a movie was Sylvester Stallone's Rocky, because not only did he get them to agree to make a movie, then he says to him as an unknown nobody, he said, yeah, and I'm playing the lead character. And they go, huh? What? No, yeah. And that went on for 6 months debating. This is after like 100 people already turned him down, okay? And then after he gets that, he said, and I'm the director. All I need you for is some money.
just as an FYI.
Yeah.
It was eight presidents.
Wow.
Yeah.
Eight presidents. Forrest Whitaker is playing the butler.
Oh, that's right, because he went through Clinton, didn't he?
Yes,
well,
he did. And he went from it was written by a guy by the name of Will Haygood in 2008.
Yeah.
Forrest Whitaker as Cecil Gaines. Gaines is an African American born sharecropper's son, born in Georgia to Washington in the late 50s, and eventually served eight presidents in the White House.
I want to ask why they haven't made a movie, or maybe they haven't. Correct me if I'm wrong, about Mark Twain. Have they made a movie about him yet?
Oh, sure.
Have they made a movie about his story? I mean, about his life.
Yes.
I don't think they
have. Yes, I
they
have.
They have? About Mark Twain's life?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
You got to go and look at...
Hey,
guys, I got to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Hey, guys, I got to apologize for that. I didn't realize I was still hot.
What did you do?
I've got a vendor that did a job here at my job.
Yeah.
And he's been trying to get paid, but we can't pay him without an I-9 form.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they haven't sent it to me yet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We go through this, you know, we play this little dance and, you know, do this little dance. And I tell them, send me the I-9. Okay, I'll send it. Then 3 months later.
Yeah.
You know, but it's only like $75.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
well, give
it to me now.
Pay him half of it. Yeah. Submits an I-4.5 form.
Oh,
yeah,
man,
I know. That's the part of the business.
Things for contractors now, man, have gotten so crazy.
Yeah.
You've got to have workman's compensation.
Yeah.
You know, to come on the property and do a $75.
Yeah.
You know, job.
Yeah. Well,
so, and workman's comp is a monster, as you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, I got rid of my industrial roofing company in the mid-'80s because workman's comp went from $13 a hundred to $17, and then they told me the next year it was going to be $34 a hundred. And I'm going, you mean every time I pay a guy $100, I got to give the workman's comp fund $34? You know? And I said, no, it's getting too crazy. I'm working for the insurance company. So I sold off the equipment and shut down the company.
Yeah.
And I mean, we used to do $250,000 jobs and stuff, but, you know, when half of it's labor and you got a 34% penalty on like that, where's the profit in that job? You're still bidding in an unlimited market, you know?
Yep. And they don't see it that way.
Yeah. Let me see if I can't find that Mark Twain movie for AJ there.
I'm not familiar with any movie made about Mark Twain.
Yeah, it's an older, real old. It's Mark Twain, and it's kind of like the movie's about him, but he's actually watching himself grow up, and you know, kind of side narrating the movie. It's I want to say it's written and done back in the.
Here's a movie.
Late 40s.
Here's a movie called The Adventures of Mark Twain in 1944.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what did you say about Mark Twain? Is that my line with all that is that my line with all that distortion?
It's not mine.
Wow. I'm going to call back in. Well, but then I won't be unmuted. It's called The Adventures of Mark Twain. That's what I found, the name of the movie I have on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Is it?
And I've actually seen that movie.
Pardon?
We've seen that movie.
Is it me or y'all? Is it about 50 degrees? I feel like it's about 50 degrees out here today.
It's you. I'm sitting here half naked with the air conditioner on high because because it's 71 degrees here in South Carolina today, and it's pouring rain and cold and raw and damp.
This just don't make sense, but I'm talking about some global warming. Now, it's got to change to climate change. Now, it's got to be climate change. This can't be global warming. It's different.
But weather strange and
hard. I want Al Gore on the line here. Tell me where my global warming
went. I remember it snowed last year, didn't it?
Yeah.
In New York, snowed.
I mean, we're supposed to be 100-degree days here this time of year in South Carolina.
August is usually the hottest month.
Yeah. I was actually considering last night actually putting heat on. I was cold. I was shivering trying to sleep no matter how many blankets I had on me. It was cold and raw.
70 degrees where I am.
Well, it's overcast. I was supposed to be coming to Myrtle Beach tomorrow, but that's a waste of time.
You were going to come to Myrtle Beach?
What you had to Myrtle Beach for?
Just my a friend of mine, it's her birthday. We was just going up there to hang out.
And you're going to come right past South Carolina and our house.
You sure are.
And our houses, and you're not going to stop.
You're going to be coming up I-20?
Look, I just paid for it last night.
Well, how far?
The hotel. I'm just going to be up there for a day.
South Carolina, how far are you from Charleston?
Hour and a half.
Okay. Been to Charleston.
Send what's her face? Golly, Tracy,
send Tracy an email with your contact info. And tell
she
her
got it. Tracy got my number?
Yeah.
Have you ever been
to I done tried to reach out to South Carolina a couple of times. I had asked her for your number.
Oh, okay.
You're coming straight in on Interstate 20?
Yeah, we coming up I-20.
Where the exit ends, where 20 ends and hits Interstate 95 running north and south?
I don't even know. I don't know. I guess that's where we're going to have to go, yeah.
Yeah, we're at where 20 ends, and then you got to get on the beach route and all that other stuff, you know. You go probably with past three-quarters of a mile from my house at the most, maybe a mile.
We're
just going to be up there for a day. We're going to come there tomorrow. But, I mean, y'all can hit me up or something like that. I'll ask her for the number.
Yeah.
What's your Facebook page?
Bill Green. It's on Tracy. It's friends with Tracy.
All right.
Yeah. Well.
Pull it up right now.
You don't need to give South Carolina an excuse to head to the ocean. You know that.
Well, hey, I need to find out where to get some good crab and shrimp and I want some big prawns. I want some big giant shrimp and crabs
They'll
and
be
everything.
They'll
be at the beach.
What they've got, what they got though, and the best value for that.
What's the name? What's the best? What's the name of the best place I can go?
Bennett's. Bennett's Calabash. It's in North Myrtle.
I mean, I want big gigantic shrimp. I mean, I want huge. I don't want none of that little bitty stuff.
It's an all-you-can-eat buffet, Bo.
Is it big?
It's big. Oh yeah, it's they got 123 items on the buffet.
No, it's about is it big as far as the size of the like? I want quality A1.
He doesn't like eating shrimp like M&M's.
I want like eight to a pound.
5229, and I'm in studio here with Jeff and AJ, and we got a bunch of folks on the phones. Alex is out there. Not the blind Mike, Alabama, Brown Beasley, and South Carolina. We've got some quiet listeners in the background. If you want to hit your button and say, hey, I want to jump in, you know you're welcome to do so. We always love having you. It's Open Mic Friday. The number is 347-945-5229. I want you to remind yourself that if you need to get your dog or cat groomed, you want to go to Pet Spa Luxury Cat and Dog Salon. It's located on West Reserve Boulevard in here in the Mahoning Valley. They're at 1122 West West Reserve Road. Give Julie a call. Tell her you heard it here at Tracy and Friends. And the number is 330-758-4444.
Knock it off. You're killing me.
Jeez, old man.
You're killing me.
What am I going to do with you guys?
You can't do a commercial without sound effects.
Hey, listen, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
That's a hair lip dog. What?
Now
I got to do something. Listen, I got to throw something out there. I'm going to change the subject just a whole. I know you guys. I know everybody thinks I'm nuts.
You are nuts.
But I got to get all this in. I just have so much to say. We didn't get to bring it up yesterday when Mark Manji was here, and he said, Tracy, you heard about the Million Muslim March? And I said, no. He said that there's a Million Muslim March on 9/11 schedule in Washington, D.C.
What is up with that?
And AJ is here in the studio talking about, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does
Someone
that
explain
mean?
That to me.
And so
they're going to march for their causes.
What cause?
Sharia law in the United States. What else?
I've never heard of this.
Hold on. So I want you to know I did research this because I went off the conservative sites and went on to the liberal sites, and it says in the Washington Times, it says a Muslim advocacy PAC is planning a million Muslim march in Washington, D.C. on September 11th to demand social justice by the United States government.
Whoa.
The American Political Action Committee, or AMPAC, is demanding that laws be enacted protecting the First Amendment. We're asking President Obama to fulfill his promise from his first campaign of presidency to a transparent government. Lastly, we're asking for the release of the 9/11 Commission report to the people, the event posting states on websites. And they are demanding it. They're planning a million Muslim march on 9/11.
Oh, my goodness.
And my question is, of all the days, the 364 days out of the year, why would you pick 9/11?
I don't get what here's what's confusing me about it. is what are they trying to prove to us? What's the point of marching in Washington on 9/11, a day where we're supposed to be remembering the lives that were lost on 9/11/2001 as well as 9/11/2012?
They said that, this is from their chief operations, Aisha Hodge. She writes that Muslims and non-Muslims were traumatized by 9/11/2001 terrorist attacks. But we as Muslims continue 12 years later to be victimized by being made the villains.
That does make sense. To me, I'm going to say that this does make sense, that they feel like they are also being demonized because not every single Muslim is a terrorist.
They also said these lies told to the American population has made it impossible for us to do a true Dara. What is a Dara?
Dawa.
I don't know what that is.
Protest, probably.
What is a Dawa? Who's out there? Who knows what a Dawa is? Dawa, D-A-W-A.
What is that?
I don't know. It's a good Scrabble word, though. Word's a friend word.
It's not English, though.
It is a. It denotes proselytizing of Islam.
Okay.
Proselytizing. Help me out. Proselytizing.
Promoting.
So,
speaking about inviting people
okay.
to church to hear and listen
like evangelism.
Exactly.
Promoting.
Spreading the word.
Okay.
Spreading the word.
Okay. So if they said these lies being told has caused it's been possible for them to go out and do a true darwa. I did not know what a darwa was. Referring to the proselytizing or preaching of Islam. It is time for us as Muslims in America to stop being on the defensive and start being proactive by using our right to vote and our freedom of assembly to let our voices be heard by the country, by our country and the world. Stand with us and fight for injustices being committed against us.
Wow.
The organizer of the march is somebody named M.D. Rabbi Alam, A-L-A-M, and I'm seeing here his statement was on the Sean Hannity show is that we're standing this day to show America that we denounce terrorism. Isn't that?
Okay.
I guess that's a.
You got to understand what. I mean, I mean, everybody has a right to do what they do. I just want it's a little bit. You know.
I don't know.
9/11.
It's a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I
don't think that's a good day for it.
No, I don't either.
You know,
why does it have to be 9/11? Why does it have to be on that day?
Because we've got to realize last year on 9/11 we had
Benghazi. Right.
That I mean, we 9/11 needs just to be into memorial of what happened. They don't need to do. That's not a good day.
No, and if you're stepping on toes.
No, that's not a good day.
You're stepping on toes.
That's not a good way. That's not a good day to promote peace.
No, not at all. You're
they're not trying to promote peace.
You know, I can imagine when Martin Luther King decided to have his march on Washington, that someone probably told him that it wasn't a good day or a good time. I understand your position. I understand your position. I wouldn't make that much of it. I don't feel. Obviously, these people.
You gotta realize too much can happen on that day, and
something can happen at
any
time.
Something can happen any day. But you need to be somewhat empathetic or sympathetic.
It's not like they're marching on. Not like they're going to have a million Muslim march on Washington, and supporting terrorism. Or trying to,
but that's what it leads to.
I just read you what
when you pull Muslims up, you have so many different sects of the Islamic religion that there will be some people there who do or believe and want Sharia law, and I understand that
they even get a million people,
not the point. 540, your mic is on.
Yeah, Tracy. Good afternoon. This is Bob.
Good afternoon, Bob.
I wanted to make a comment about this Dawa, and I think somebody's already alluded to it, that it's proselytizing the Islamic religion. And if these people are so strongly believing in their religion, why don't they allow Christians in their country to proselytize Christianity? We would be murdered in any of the Muslim countries for even bringing up Jesus' name in a religious context.
Speaking of which, they right now, if you really look at it, they're killing Christians like it's a business over in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. Yep, like they're getting so much ahead for them, and you have to understand this is the product of your present administration, because they created this mess in Egypt, they created the mess in Syria.
You know what? The mess in Egypt is far bigger than, and it's been around far longer than this administration.
Created the mess in Egypt. They created the mess in Syria. They created the mess in Libya. They did it all. They gave over the Middle East to the Muslim Brotherhood, who is destructive and bent and sworn on destroying the West and the United States in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're going to do it from within because they were already doing what they're going to do with this da'wah here right now, which is they're going to have huge families in the United States till they grow up and they are the major voting bloc. Then they will vote Islam in. They will vote in Sharia law like they're already doing in Michigan, et cetera, et cetera. I understand your leanings, my friend, but you are absolutely incorrect.
My leanings, let's just look at real quick history on Egypt, okay? Egypt was an enemy of Israel. They were at war all the time. The Carter administration bought a peace. Sadat was killed for being a traitor, for making peace with Israel. Meanwhile, this was financed by the United States. The United States, yes, financed and propped up Mubarak for 30 years. As far as being a dictator, there was none more. There was none that's any more brutal. There are no rights. These are people that have been shut down and oppressed. The Arab Spring comes along, which, of course, was there were people, there were forces behind the scenes making this happen. Arab Spring comes along, United States turns its back on Mubarak, and then they have elections, and a democratically elected. They elected the Muslim Brotherhood. They elected Morsi, who continued with the same dictatorial, authoritarian stuff. My point is that this isn't just something that happened with this administration.
But the
sure
it is.
That's not true. I just gave you a quick synopsis of history.
You gave me a long bend in its winding road. We know that there has been turbulence always in the Middle East as well as in Egypt. We understand the process that's been going on, but the interference with the American administration at this present time right now has not been to the benefit of the Middle East and or Cairo. We need to be honest about that. And
not everyone there is on the same page.
Again,
obviously.
But we are interjecting, and they are using Egypt to be almost like a powder keg to what's going on in the Middle East.
Who is
that? Is that not true? And listen, there is a manufactured of the Arab-speaking countries, and they
Tell
are
me,
using.
Just give me an idea who they is, and I'm who,
they,
who are
they
you talking
is,
about?
They is I want to say the Muslim between the Muslim Brotherhood, the what do they call not Hezbollah but the other one.
Oh, I don't know. You're talking
Hamas
about
Hamas?
No, they know Hamas. Who's that?
Al Qaeda.
They're using this because remember.
There's no evidence of that. There's no evidence
Let's
of that.
Yes.
Let's be for real.
You're looking at right now. No one's talking about Israel right now. And Israel is that. Who was the timeline with the ticking bomb and the line that goes through?
That was Israel.
No, that was Israel. Who was he talking about? Was that Palestine?
He was talking about Iraq.
Okay,
Iran.
And right now, they're using Cairo as a filtering for what they're trying to get at their agenda.
Who, Al Qaeda? Where's the evidence of that?
The Muslim Brotherhood is supported by Al Qaeda. They fund them. So now, how do you get away from?
You know that the Muslim Brotherhood has existed for ages.
That has nothing to do with what I just said. I said Al Qaeda funds the Muslim Brotherhood. Now you cannot get away from that. That's a fact, a political fact. Now, why do you want to insist on this being just some?
A real simplistic view to things.
This is not simplistic at all. It's a whole convoluted thing. But you had a king that had to place in balance. You're talking foolishness. You had a balanced country that was keeping peace in the region.
You had a country that was ruled by a dictator. That you had
I don't
a country
care
that was ruled
was
by
ruled
a dictator
by.
That was prompted by the U.S. for 30 years.
So what? It was peace. It was peace. Oil was flowing.
Why don't you acknowledge that?
I'm not disacknowledging that. I absolutely agree with you. But it was in balance. They had commerce going on. People were working.
In balance for whom?
It was in balance for the Egyptian people.
You got to realize their stabilization and the American stabilization are two different things.
Absolutely.
And we need to understand that. People don't have the balances of power, and ours is a teeny totter right now. We're crazy, but
so you guys don't give a damn if there's a dictatorship.
That's
no,
you don't
can
care
I,
if these
can
people's
I
rights were trampled
quickly.
On.
Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
I have to strongly disagree about there being the country is being balanced before. You need to actually speak to native Egyptians. One writer. He's a historian. His name is Mustafa Gadala. He writes about the oppression Egyptians have had for this. This has gone on forever because of Islam. This fanatic Islam has ruled Egypt. It always has, and the native people are afraid to practice. They don't even believe in Islam, but they put on a facade of it because if they don't, they'll get their heads cut off. And this has always been this way. And I would just encourage people to look at some of because Mustafa Gadala, he actually lives in North Carolina now, but he moved from Egypt. You should read some of his writings because he's an Egyptian historian and he talks about this. Egypt has never been a balanced society, and America does what it has done in that country what it always does. It props up dictators, and we talk out of our behind about democracy and freedom, and then we'll topple democracies like we did in Iran in 1953. They had a democracy,
right.
And we toppled it and put in a dictator. So that it could, you know,
so we could take control of it.
Yeah, and that's really the problem. Until we go back to a Jeffersonian foreign policy, which is friendship and free trade with everyone, but alliances with no one. Until we go back to that, we're always going to have these problems, and you know, it's just nonsense. Because any solution that you try to think of is just going to cause another problem, and then you got to spend more government money and waste more time trying to solve a problem that should have never been in the first place.
Well, you're right about the propping up the dictator, but once again, they had a peace treaty, however stressed it was, with Israel. And when Israel, you know, we need Israel over there in the Middle East. I don't care what anybody says. You have no jump-off point to stop anything unless you have Israel.
And you need to support them.
Absolutely need to support them. Both spiritually and secularly,
mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing. You have these radical Muslims in these countries that are going to do now just what the Bible says they're going to do.
They're going to cause people, both small and great, to take a mark. They're not going to be able to sell unless you say, bow your head to Allah.
And we all know that this fight will never end between us and Egypt and the Middle East.
Never.
Never. It hasn't. It started
Hold
at
on
the
a
beginning
second.
Of time.
Egypt,
and
Egypt
it's never
is an
end.
Ally of the United States.
Who is?
Egypt has always been considered an ally of the United States for 30 years. The United
because
States spends $2 billion a year. Now, let me ask you this. Is it logical to think, okay, looking at what's going on, okay, that you have this democratically elected government, yes, it's the Muslim Brotherhood, that the army was influenced by the United States, and they deposed Morsi? Is it likely that the United States is behind that? Because, yes, they're
no.
concerned about – it's not likely at all. But where
–
are you serious?
Hold on. Bob, you're back on.
Yep.
Five three seven, your mic on. Mike, your mic is on.
Hello.
Hello.
Just said no.
Hello.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. I just want to make a quick point that 47 Coptic Christian churches have been recently burnt down, and they're raping the women and making them marry the Muslims and. They're just terrorizing them under the Mubarak. They didn't do that.
Thank you.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
That is an outrage, and I don't know why it's not being, made a big point about. I haven't heard anybody except a couple of radio guys talk about it.
I heard Glenn Beck talking about it.
Because this administration is very radical Muslim friendly, and I'm sorry for anybody that disagrees with it. They are, and it shows. They put these people in power, and the military said, no. These guys are killing people. They're doing this, that, and the other. We can't allow this because there's no balance here. And they took the country back over from who our government supported. That's why you hear that, we're firmly behind Mr. Morsi, who was elected, and we reject this violence, and we really appreciate that they would get back to having a democracy as soon as possible. That's what they're saying from our administration.
Yep.
It's the most bass-ackward policy that has ever come out of the United States, and I'm telling you, it's the destruction of the Middle East.
Who's in charge of Egypt now?
The military.
Right.
The military is murdering people in the streets.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Right.
You guys and you defend that as right.
Yes.
You defend a dictator, an oppressive dictator like Mubarak with a heavy hand. We never heard anything.
Morsi turned on the Christians and started killing them and burning
Morsi
them.
Morsi was in power for 9 months.
Mubarak
was in power for 30 years.
Doc, why did they remove him?
There's no comparison.
Why did they remove him that quickly?
Why did they remove Morsi?
Yeah.
I believe it's because the United States wanted it done. And they
why?
And they
put him in charge.
What happened?
Well,
they wanted him out? That's the question.
They want him out because they're afraid of the Muslim Brotherhood and what it could progress to.
No, they can't possibly. They gave Libya to the Muslim Brotherhood. They're trying to give Syria to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
How convoluted do you have to think to get to that
this
point?
This is a
right
different now? Country with a different situation.
I said,
Libya,
how do you
Libya,
convoluted?
Libya,
the
Libya,
same
Libya has
the
not
same
been
hand.
An ally of the United States. Libya doesn't receive $2 billion a year for
what
many years.
What do they
years.
Receive from us?
I don't know, but it's nowhere near the funding that Egypt
don't
receives.
It don't have to be, dog. Northern Africa is different than the Middle East.
Hey, South Carolina,
Egypt,
you there?
Egypt is the most populous country in the
Brown.
Middle East.
South Carolina, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Listen, I got to take my break. I'll be right back. Hold down the fort while I'm gone.
Okay.
I'm fighting a losing battle with you guys. If somebody can just have an open mind instead of being, if somebody could just have an open mind, I'll hear someone repeat some of the same facts that I said. They'll draw different conclusions, but if someone else says these facts, they accept. You guys seem to accept them. If I say the facts, they seem like they're offensive. It's unbelievable.
Well, it all depends on your base or your point of view.
My point of view, you know, my basic point of view is that what they're feeding you over the news is not really the truth, and that you have to look behind, and that what you're being fed is more than likely some deception and lies. And that whatever that is not the truth.
Brown,
and that you have to think through, and that you have to think through it, and you have to think through it with an open mind, not with these prejudices or this bullshit that we've been sold.
Okay, but what I was saying was, I agree with both of y'all. I think that we are, through the CIA, killing, doing assassinations, inciting riots, doing different things. The guy that was in office before Noriega, we bombed his plane. I mean, it's just a lot of different stuff that we're doing because it benefits us at the moment. And so I can't, like, the hostage situation gave us OPEC, and the Saudis came out of the dark ages because of that. So, I mean, it's kind of, to sit up here and just to say what it is today, it's not like that. The dictator, we place one guy in, and then when he pisses us off, we bring somebody else in. So I think it's fair. We have to kind of, we have to acknowledge that, you know, we've done things, and what one guy liked, another president didn't like, and now we're just in a big mess, man. I think if we pull back, like Alex just said, and just let people have it, I mean, we have to have some summit. But look, we just got to wipe the slate clean. If we don't, I mean, people are mad for a reason. We are occupying people. We're doing different things. We have to leave people alone and let them fend for themselves and let people fight it out.
That hasn't been our history. We're constantly meddling in the affairs of these countries, and they're meddling in the affairs of these countries. Basically, it's about resources. Why hasn't the United States invaded or attacked North Korea? Ain't shit there. There's nothing there. It's a very poor country.
Why they're poor? Because they live in a dictatorial system, you know. And here's the thing:
it's a poor country.
You know?
Okay,
but listen, we don't know what's there. It's a closed country.
We've got a clue.
We don't know what's there.
We know we know what's not there. We know that there's not a lot there's not a lot of food there, and that they have a hard time keeping electricity on.
Why?
My point that I'm trying to make is this. We were quick to go into Iraq, and they fabricated evidence, they pushed an agenda of weapons of mass destruction, of which none were found.
Because they're all in Syria.
Yeah, okay. Right. They moved them all out from, believe that. To protect the oil.
And?
It's about resources.
No, it wasn't just that. I mean, Saddam threatened to...
That and probably a vendetta against Saddam.
Well, there are several reasons. I mean, I think that was the benefit of it, was securing oil, but more importantly, Saddam threatened to stop using the dollar to trade oil and switch to the euro.
It's about finance. Okay. Who securing these oil fields, who did this benefit? In fact,
it didn't benefit the United States. It benefited Israel and Europe, so it benefited the most. Because that's who was getting the oil from Iraq, was Israel, from the Basra pipeline.
Well.
Saying out of Iraq, that's most of the They fed Europe and Israel. That's who benefited the most.
They were fed with oil?
Well, I'm saying that's who's historically used most of Iraqi oil has been Western Europe and Israel. The pipeline, there's a pipeline that goes. If you see this, right, you have to kind of look at news that's not American news, because they, you know, the Iraqis, they knew what the deal was, and they just look up the Basra pipeline, BASRA. The Iraqis continued, they blew it up every other day because that oil went straight to Israel, and so they, you know, they were just, you know, furious about it, and so you know, even after Saddam was killed, they continued to blow up the pipeline because the oil, you know, was going, you know, largely to Israel and Western Europe. And so, you know,
if anything, the war took that oil off the market. It took that oil off the market. There was warfare going on, and there was and oil production there stopped and was halted. Or it dribbled out at a much slower pace, which caused prices to go up that we're still paying for.
Nah, that's not the reason oil prices went up. I mean,
oil prices and gas prices haven't come down, and they've certainly gone up quite a bit since the war.
Yes, they have.
And they've stayed there.
All this gasoline here in South Carolina. And my town is $3.14.
That's cheap.
Yeah. You need to check out the excise taxes and the federal excise taxes and the state excise taxes that's being charged.
No, it's a lot, particularly here in California. For premium, I'm about to pay $4.20 something a gallon right now.
No, we don't have anything that's over $4 here, not even premium.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you got a refinery that goes down, no, gas prices go up. You know, if we'd open up that pipeline and did it that way, then we could probably, you know, create some jobs then. And
they're not building refineries, and they're shutting refineries down here in the U.S. and that's part of the problem why gas is so expensive. Ed, you know what? We seem to have gotten used to it. I don't hear people complaining about it that much anymore. You just kind of accept it as one of those things. I was speaking with Alabama, I believe, during the break. I think we're on a break now. And he mentioned something about, you know, something I don't even think about, you know, car registration. Why do we have to pay to have our car registered each year when it's not changing hands? You know, what? Why is it right that they're, you know, charge us $100, $150 every year to renew the registration on your car? And I'm like, you know, that's just a way that the governments raise money. You've come to accept
it.
Nobody seems to complain about gas prices anymore. We've accepted it. You just accept
no,
it. No,
because they've come down to an acceptable level.
It's not hardly an acceptable level. It's not an acceptable level. It's $4.20 a gallon.
That's in California. You guys are crazy out there, man. The property taxes,
it's beautiful here.
It's beautiful in South Carolina too, man.
I've been to South Carolina.
Hmm?
I've been to South Carolina as a kid. I've got relatives from South Carolina, from Charleston.
Oh yeah. See, that's where Jeff said people are at, down in that area.
Those red ants will eat you alive.
Yep. That's where the Geechies are. They'll
right.
Geechie.
Right. Right, but it's funny that, I mean, you guys have all these opinions of California, and I hear them. Someone said yesterday, it's amazing some of the things that I've heard in my 2 days experiencing this show.
Well, I was stationed out there.
Pardon me?
I was stationed out there. Camp Pendleton.
Okay. Southern California, 29. Yeah. Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Marine base. By Oceanside, San Diego. It's beautiful down there.
Yep.
Nice and cool. Doesn't get too hot. I think yesterday I said something like, you know, I would rather people were complaining about food stamps. And I said, you know, I'd much rather feed people than bomb people. So someone called in and said, you know, I heard what you said. You know, the government doesn't have an obligation to feed people, but the government is supposed to bomb people.
Well, they're in the business.
I mean, when people say things like that, I'm just like, wow.
Well, I sometimes, you know, I think people are too in touch with their feminine side, and America has become wussified, really. Because, you know, you can't fight a war without bombing somebody, you know. And if you want freedom, sometimes you're going to have to go to war.
Hold on a
because
second.
Because the only
was anybody in Iraq threatening my freedom?
Yeah.
No. No one in Iraq had really any authority or any ability to restrict any of my freedoms. Any of my freedoms and any of your freedoms that have been restricted by your own government. That's the biggest. That's your own government instituted the Patriot Act and the NDAA and that restricts your freedoms.
Why did the Patriot Act
to control people? You inflame people.
What
you inflame people and you scare the shit out of them. There were no weapons of mass destruction, my friend. They just weren't there. You were sold a bill of goods.
Okay.
We were sold a lie. 4,000 U.S. troops, 200,000 Iraqis, and trillions of dollars later.
So you're saying that the Iraqi people didn't want us to come over there?
No. I'm saying that I don't feel any threat from any Iraqi people. The people that I'm afraid of are right here in this country. The people that you should be afraid of, the people that have restricted your rights and restricted your freedoms are right here in this country.
I mean, what do you propose doing about it?
I don't have any answers. I'm just trying to give you a different perspective so you think things for the way that I see them.
Instead of
the knee jerk, unthought out, simplistic, you know, we have to go to war to protect our freedoms.
Actually, sometimes you do.
Did we have to go to Vietnam to protect our freedoms?
We were helping.
But did
we were there to
Vietnam to protect our freedoms? Yes or no?
We were there at the request of the Vietnamese government.
Good grief.
Okay? They requested it. All right? They were our allies.
Just answer my question.
No.
Just try to answer my question.
I'm answering your question.
No. It's a simple yes or no. And we have history to reflect on.
Yes, we did have to go. We did have
to protect freedoms in the United States. The Vietnam War had to be fought.
To protect our freedom, we had to fight.
Protect our freedoms in the United States, we had to go to war and lose 50,000 troops and spend untold billions of dollars and trillions of dollars on war, and have huge divisions to protect our freedoms in the United States. Tell me how.
Because it was called stopping the great threat of communism. They were our allies. They requested us to come and help them. We went.
All right.
Bottom line.
The communists won. The communists won over there. Has that stopped your freedoms?
In a way, yeah.
How?
But now they
tell me how. Tell me how. Tell me how. Tell me how.
Communism doesn't work.
But communism is there, and it doesn't affect communism. Is
so you should. So let me get this straight. You should never fight a war.
No. Communism is in Vietnam right now. The communists won, and how has that affected anything that any of us do? How has that affected our freedoms? That's BS. What you guys say?
We have a treaty with them. We had a treaty with them. They requested our help. We went.
Where of our freedoms? Where are our freedoms
fought...
being? Where are our freedoms being impinged upon? Or where do we have less freedom because North Vietnam is a communist country?
So let me ask you this, man.
Just answer me what I'm asking you, because you said yes, and you can't back it up with anything.
Because,
you know,
because
you
I don't even like your conversation.
Hold up.
I can't back
on.
It up with anything.
I am back, and we're not going to, I didn't even like that one. So I'm going to 724. How you doing? Is that me, Larry?
724, yeah, that's me. How you doing, Tracy?
How you doing, Larry Long?
Oh, just out here driving market share, trying to make a buck. Somebody got to pay for Obamacare. Might as well be me.
Well, you can bet for mine, Larry. And while you're at it, since they tied it to our taxes, you can pay for my taxes, too. How's that?
That's all I do is pay.
Well, that's what entitlement's all about.
Hey,
you spend, I pay.
Hey, Larry,
I just been listening to this one caller. You know, he's getting, you know, real deep on Vietnam and, you know, and everything. I don't know, kind of. I've been watching all this stuff. I want to know when we're going to hold this administration to the same standard that we would have held Bush to, and that, because he seems like he's a favorite whipping boy. But everything that everybody is upset about Bush, Obama has taken and magnified it.
On steroids.
Larry, honey, let me explain to you. Let me explain?
So hold on, Larry, let me ask you a question.
Hold
real
on,
quick.
No, Brown Beasley, no, listen, I got to ask Larry this. Larry?
Yes.
Right.
You know he's black, right?
He's biracial.
Well, his skin complexion is yes.
Okay, so Larry.
Yeah.
Larry,
yeah.
So just like you, when I see you as biracial as you are.
Right.
You mean, you know you can't talk about him because he's black,
oh,
right?
Oh, you know, get off that nonsense and address what the man said. You know, quit playing these stupid, silly games. You know, that's really cornball. That's not productive. That's just some asinine
it's
stuff
true.
That you, that the right gets into
it's
that you
it's
can't criticize
truth.
Him because he's black.
It's
basically, what Larry said was
it's
this.
It's the truth.
Basically,
it's the
Larry
truth.
Said this.
You ain't got to explain what Larry
you know what?
Said.
You know
it's
exactly.
The truth. It's the truth. You cannot criticize the president, and they're not criticizing the president, not because he's liberal, but
because
they don't want to be claimed as a racist.
Exactly.
But I mean,
I don't know
if that caller agrees with my statement, but everything that I've heard about Bush starting the war, you were on Iraq. You know that the Democratic front runner for the 2016 cycle. She voted for us to go to war there. She did. John Kerry, our current Secretary of State, he voted for that. So that was, I mean, that was really one thing that was kind of had bipartisan support. And you talk about the weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, they weren't found in Iraq. They'd been used in Syria on their own citizens.
Absolutely.
That's a fact.
That's what I said.
Yeah. I mean, that's... When Bush went to everybody, and it was overwhelming. Other than guys like Rand Paul's father, you know what I mean. But everybody was behind us going into Iraq. It was a mistake. We paid dearly for it. We're out of there, but we still got people there. But I mean, we've been with this president. We're bombing people in Yemen. We took down Gaddafi in Libya. We're getting involved in Syria. That's this whole Benghazi thing, the other guy on the other line there. Benghazi was, we were running those arms when we took down Libya. All that stuff is going over to Syria right now. And that's why we had CIA assets on the ground. I mean, it's ironic that this is coming full circle because the guy, I mean, we don't even hold, we call Bush and want to impeach Bush. I saw that the National Black Republican Association threw out articles of impeachment just this week, Tracy, and others. I mean, you look at it and you read it, it's simple. This, I mean, they got a point, but it doesn't get any traction because we're too worried about the name of the baby, the new royal third in line over in Great Britain, or what Kanye and Kim are doing. But yeah. You know, it just baffles me that everybody. Well, Bush did this, or he inherited this. When are we going to start holding this guy accountable for his action and his administration's action? Because things aren't getting better.
Larry,
well,
you can't. People are still drinking the healthcare Kool-Aid, and they're backing out of it, but you got the rest of them believing that it's Republicans trying to hold them up because they won't let them implement it the way it should be. So the president's saying
don't
that he's going to back up. Huh?
But, Tracy, I'm not one of them guys that you can pee on me and tell me it's raining, though. I just can't live. That's not me.
Is that the same as being born at night and said, but it wasn't last night?
Well, you know, I mean, it's the health care law. All this stuff that's coming out. You know, I mean, and you guys know, I sit on the board of the trustees at a community college here in Ohio. We've been cutting back part-time hours across the board. We had no choice. We can't afford it. But when we talked about that back in 2009 and 2010 when it got passed, you were labeled, caller, that's what we were called. If you was white, you was a racist, for sure. If you was black, you was Uncle Tom, cornball, I heard you throw that out, you was a cornball brother. You need to get on this, we need this free health care. There is nothing in this.
So Larry got to be an Uncle Racist.
And, right. Yeah.
You got both, Larry. You're an Uncle Racist.
But now
or Racist Tom. I don't know which one to say.
Listen, guys, I got a question for you guys. I need to know something. Because Larry, you said a mouthful, like, so I guess you got your bill today.
I've been listening, Tracy. I'm so fired up, I had to call.
Hell yeah.
But I got a problem out here. Because what I'm looking at and what's going on in the with the whole, you don't hear anyone say, well, you know, the Republicans were right about this bill, and the reason why they're backing it up is because it's unenforceable and it's going to cost too much and it's going to hurt the economy and it's going to strangle small business. When have you heard that statement come out of any mouth that has been a part of the national communication?
You're absolutely right, Tracy. And here's one where I will blame Bush, because when anybody questioned Bush on the foreign policy back then, his administration, with Karl Rove's blessing, you were unpatriotic. You were un-American at that time. And
that's
so
correct.
The un-American has now become the racist of
right.
2013.
That's
correct. That's honest truth, Tracy. And so, but when are we going to realize? First of all, we were talking about Egypt. That's what got me all fired up. Do you know this stuff has been going on since before Christ was here?
Absolutely.
You know, you had to,
we said earlier.
And it's continued on all through the year. We have propped up dictators like that, like, was it Mubarak, I think is his name? Before.
Mubarak.
Yeah, Mubarak. We propped him up just like we propped up Saddam Hussein, is because they kept the peace. They would keep they kept a firm boot on people like the Muslim Brotherhood. But that's, I mean, let's look at this president. We'll take the domestic side out of it, because we can all agree he's been a failure domestically. The Arab Spring and ushering in the Muslim Brotherhood, that was Obama's plan. What was the first foreign country he went to as president? And he gave a big speech. It was Egypt.
That was Egypt.
Let me open the eyes
to another part of this that I was trying to tell everybody about Mr. George Soros. George Soros, who has 18 different organizations, liberal organizations, progressive organizations, to destroy politics in America, the right in America, so that they cannot lift their heads and save this country. He just bought
huge parts of S&P 500, and he's shorting them.
Ooh.
Now, do you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah,
I know you do.
It's going in the tank.
He knows it's going, and he's betting against it. You know why he's betting against it, United States citizens? Because he set this up, just like he did in England, to destroy the currency of America so that he and his cohorts control it all. You people walked into this, and you walked into it gleefully. If you don't understand that, look it up. Look what Mr. George Soros did just today. Now, if you want to be the fool and ignore that, then go ahead. But this is real, and he's getting ready to take this thing down with the blackface in a high place. So thank you very much.
But that's okay, because they're going to blame it on Boehner.
They're going to blame it on Bush.
They're going to blame it on Bush. They're going to blame it on Boehner.
Yeah.
They're going to blame it on anybody else, but they will not blame the face that's in the White House.
No.
And let me say it this way, and I don't mean to be facetious about this, but it was a masterful plan.
It's been a plan in effect for the past 100 years.
How many presidents has it been like this, though, is my question.
It's been going on for years.
This is the worst president you have ever had in history.
No doubt.
This one put it on steroids. But remember, you got to understand what Kissinger said. Kissinger said, this is the president that can actually bring forth the one world order.
The new world order.
That's what he said.
Well, I want to know is this the first president that everyone else is blaming everyone else but the president? Or how many presidents have we had
again,
in the past?
Again, this man has his face, his demeanor. He's been allowed and given a pass based on race, based on, you know, history. You got to realize he walked into the White House with a Nobel Peace Prize.
He got it like a month after he was elected.
And he walked in there getting it. He walked in the door and they handed him the Peace Prize because he won the presidency. He had done nothing except raise his right hand and put his hand on the Bible and say, I'm going to be president.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That shocked me.
You got to understand how we looked at this.
Did Bush ever win the Nobel Peace Prize?
No.
He wasn't
even
nominated.
Even though he almost eradicated the deaths of AIDS in Africa.
The irony is this guy won the Nobel Peace Prize while conducting two wars. I mean, how do you do that?
Be a progressive liberal, and all you have to do is say your intention was for peace, and they say,
No. It's like the beauty queen. We just want world peace.
We just want world peace.
Yeah,
and
George Soros visits the White House frequently. And it's really funny. We have shut down all of our offshore drilling in the Gulf because of the BP Act, and a good excuse. And yet, we then gave money to Venezuela to open up their oil fields, all of which are in the same Gulf. So if there's a spill there, it's only going to float right up here anyway. And
$12 billion
owns those companies, and Soros owns all those companies. I'm not much on conspiracies. I'll tell you guys that. You know that about me, because for a whole bunch of reasons. But I'll tell you, sometimes when you see a chain of coincidences of the most incredible converging circumstances, you got to say it's not a coincidence. It's a plan.
Well, these are purely, clearly not coincidences. These are things that the progressives have written about that they're going to do. You have your Saul Alinsky's that the president emulates and taught in his classes as he was a teacher in law school teaching constitutional law when he doesn't know a doggone thing about constitutional law.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention that, Jeff, because I get short with people who don't vote and then want to complain. You know, well, I have the same attitude about people who won't read when I make the effort to read any way I can, pay people to read it to me or whatever. When he was running for president and I began to hear all of the stuff about Saul Alinsky, Bill Ayers, Rules for Radical, I went to the Library of Congress. There's a tape program they have for blind people. You can get books on tape from the Library of Congress. And I went and pulled me down a copy of Rules for Radicals. I read about halfway through it, and I had something like 40, 50 pages of notes where I could see stuff that was going on in the campaign that was exactly laid out in that book.
Right.
And I go, wow, this is scary.
But you got to realize people don't read, and the news never reported.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I said, we knew this back with his health care and the Affordable Health Care Act. We knew something was wrong with it then. We talked about it, and now you see where they're backing up and trying not to execute it, and no one was saying, you know what, maybe we need to take a look, another look at these 16, 17, 1800 pages of health care law that they said that was going to be good for us, that maybe all these pages were not good for us.
20,000 pages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 20,000.
Hold on, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Jeff. How you get 20,000? I only printed like 1,900 off the internet.
That's all you can get off at one time. It's 20,000 pages to this law.
Well, the law itself, in its form that it was passed, is around 2,000 to 2,600, depending on which version, because they didn't even vote on the same version. I have both versions. But what Jeff is referring to is, to implement those 2,600 pages, they have already written 20,000 pages of procedural regulation how to implement it, and it's still not ready to go.
Hold on. So now, let me slow this down before I take my break. We know that health care, or the tax code, is something like 78,000 pages.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having a hard time, and we need to reform the tax code.
Right.
Because no one can really comprehend it and or just make it work.
Really negotiate it,
right.
You
can't do it. Mm-hmm. So you tie your health care to the tax code. So you add another 20,000 pages to the tax code and call it health care.
Not to the tax code. To all the agencies, to all the federal agencies that have to oversee the implementation
right.
of Obamacare. That would be HEW.
Hold on, Mike. Because I got to put my puzzle together. So now we've got these 78,000 pages with this another 20,000 pages of implementation that are going to be a part of the same box.
Yeah.
And then hold on.
Yeah.
Hold up. But you mean to tell me they've already got a system in place called the VA benefits program,
mm-hmm.
which is a mess?
Yeah.
And now they're going to put another 6.5 million people on the program?
Mm-hmm.
And they can't execute none of it, and it's all going to work?
Yeah. I'll tell you a little funny story, and it's true. That don't put the
story,
Mike,
I got to take a break. No.
Oh, go take your break, but this is really a true story about the government.
Listen, I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Who's still here with us?
Larry, I'm here.
Hey, Larry.
How's it going?
South Carolina.
Hey, South Carolina.
Larry.
The other Larry.
Basically, what you were saying was that Obama isn't being held accountable for taking Bush's policies and putting them on steroids. I agree with you. That's true. But I'm not. What I don't get is that where a lot of you can see how this administration has taken the policies of the last administration and intensified them, particularly for spying on the NSA, that you guys can't see that it's just the same thing with a different administration, and you guys seem to. You guys seem to.
Wrong is wrong.
You guys are really warped.
Here's the problem you run into, okay? You know, a lot of, and Larry said, a lot of.
Is this Larry speaking?
In the Patriot Act was passed under Bush with the blessing of folks like Hillary Clinton, John Kerry.
You're partisizing. You're making a partisan. It was passed 6 weeks after September 11th. That has everything to do with it.
They voted for the bill, didn't they?
Pardon me? Let me tell you first off where I'm coming from, okay? Democrat, Republican, it makes no difference. The big money, the global agenda, that's what's going down. And everyone's a part of it. And this division that they've created with people, that the Republicans are good or bad and the Democrats are good or bad, that's a sideshow.
That's BS. That's keeping people apart. That's keeping people at each other's throats. That's keeping us divided. When basically,
all I'm trying to say is I don't see by anybody on the in the mainstream media and or hardcore Democrats holding Obama to the same standards they did with Bush, because and
you know what I did?
I
did a little research last night. I don't see one person on the right, not one person. And I went back and Googled as far as I could that when the NSA spying that was introduced in the Bush administration, okay, I don't see one person on the right that spoke against it. Not one.
Alex Jones.
Ron Paul.
Well, Ron Paul's not on the right. I couldn't find one person.
Ron Paul is more conservative than all of them. But I mean,
Part
so when you say right, what do you mean?
Yeah, if you want to be honest, Ron Paul is a libertarian, and he's more conservative because he looks at the Constitution.
I don't consider him as being on the right. Okay.
No.
The stuff that he speaks about, no one on the right is speaking about.
Small government,
he's one of the biggest feminists. He's not a neocon. He's not a conservative. All I'm saying is this: is that if it's wrong when Bush did it, it's wrong when Obama does it. Wrong is wrong.
Well, wait a minute. He just made a point. I just wanted to adhere. If you go back, there's this documentary made in 1997 right after Oklahoma City bombing, called Police State.
1995.
Alex Jones is 95, and basically he's done four or five of them. Alex Jones has been on this for years, and he had
right.
a great following. So there are people out there on the right that will say this.
I don't consider Alex Jones to be really on the right. And Alex Jones would probably agree with me. Alex Jones would probably agree with me.
No, he says he doesn't like the left-right paradigm, but he does. His beliefs line up with what most people consider right-wing. That when you call right-wing, when you're strong on defense,
you know something.
Not for all these government spending programs. You made a sweeping point. I'm just trying to give you some.
No, I understand what you're saying.
That's all.
I just don't consider Alex Jones being on the right. He's talking about things. He's talking about a much broader picture. He's talking about the push to a one-world government. And he's talking
and
about
Alex
the...
Alex has been proven right in that.
Pardon me?
I mean, Alex is looking like a modern-day Nostradamus because he's been preaching on that for years. Just like Rand Paul looks good now and looking real good, and he said that the senators, because he introduced that thing to cut off funding. I don't care what you call
on off
you
funding
can't
to
call anything to Egypt. You know we're breaking the law right now by sending money to Egypt, our own law that our Congress passed, both House and the Senate. They said
you know
that
something.
But
nobody had anything to say when they pumped billions of dollars to support Mubarak, who's a ruthless dictator.
The law was passed that says that you cannot fund a government that had a military coup. I don't care what you call it. That's what just happened in Egypt. It was a military coup. So I'm getting a lot of facts. Is that me?
No, that's someone else.
Okay.
I guess there's no curing you guys. There's no appealing to your common sense.
What I'm saying,
particularly with what Larry said, okay? We agree. You said basically, okay, I'm going to paraphrase you. You said a lot of things, but one thing that you said that I agree with, and that's my major point, is that
Obama, his administration, has continued many of the things that Bush caught a lot of hell for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I agree with you 100%. That should let you know that right, left doesn't matter. That's that this paradigm that Alabama just said, that Alex Jones says he doesn't like, is BS. But you guys seem to know, you guys seem to can appreciate the facts, but you seem to be still caught up in the and you seem to still be caught up in the right left paradigm.
That's why. Because
I listen to it all.
No.
Yeah, listening to it is one thing, but making your money off of it while the people that actually do it don't make any money is a big difference. That's what this was about.
We'll do that on Monday.
Yeah.
You have to listen on Monday. Hey, guys, we're back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. I'm going to pick up the local call. I'm going to go back to the phone lines that are on the Internet, and then I'm going to let AJ say his goodbyes. Hey, local call, your mic is on.
Hey, how you doing, Tracy?
How you doing, darling?
I'm doing all right. Listen, I got an idea. I'm going to make this short. I'm going to pick a day. I'm going to schedule it on Facebook. I want 33 News. I want all the news stations, all the radio stations to be there when I schedule this disappointed time for me to go back, if you know what I mean. And I want all of them to be there because I am tired of them talking about it. Now I want them to see me and see it for itself, for what it really is and what it is about and what they're really doing. It'll be on Facebook, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks.
Right.
Hold on. We're listening to Tracy and Friends, and I just want you to know that there is. I learned a new song. Jeff, you want to hear it?
Uh huh.
I've been. It's been in my head, so I got to play it. What are you looking at me for? You want me to play it? You ready?
Yeah, I want to hear it. I definitely want to hear this song.
You want to hear this song?
Is it a new song? Is it better than Burning Down Walmart or what?
Oh, absolutely better than Burning Down Walmart.
Okay, well, let's hear it, huh?
Stupid, hang on. Oh, that's nothing new for
that's
you.
That's nothing new, Tracy.
You try to sing that every year.
That's what you hear at the Indians games, and as well as Cleveland Rocks.
I thought it was Snoopy.
No,
it's
not
Snoopy. Snoopy.
Who is Snoopy?
I don't even know. I just sing the
so
song.
So why can't
it's
it
cool.
be Snoopy?
It's not Snoopy.
Since when is Snoopy affiliated with Cleveland or Ohio?
But why, how is Sloopy?
I don't even know what Sloopy is. I just sing it because it's cool.
So why do we sing a song about a Sloopy and we don't know what a Sloopy is?
I don't know. Keep playing it. That's a good song, huh? Yeah?
That's not in the song.
I know it's not, but I'm...
What is Sloopy singing about? Jeff?
A girl that was, you know, that was poor and he was on the other side of the thing. She was on the upper crust side, okay. And they didn't want them to get together, of course, you know, Romeo
definitely
and Juliet.
Better,
you know.
Oh, it's definitely better than Burning Down Walmart, that's for sure. It's definitely better than
Montagues
that.
Montagues and the Capulets.
Well, that's very good.
So that's Sloopy?
That's who wrote the song, performed the song.
The Montagues and the Capulets?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah, I
read that my freshman year.
That's funny, because that's the name, well, as you know, that's the name, that's Romeo and Juliet's name, but that's the story. I'm assuming they're a one-hit wonder.
I think they are, too.
To the McCoys?
Those people that did that song.
They might have been a one-hit wonder, but it sure has lasted a long time for the hit.
Yeah, whoever wrote it is still getting paid.
Every time we sing it. Because we sing it a whole lot here in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hang
like
on, Snoopy.
Sloopy.
That's what I said. Hang on, Snoopy.
Hey, Trey.
Yeah, Larry?
Hey, that guy that I was talking to during the break, and then, you know, I answered his question. I just wanted to make sure he understood. I'm a fiscal conservative, just like... That's why I gravitate to. I've never attacked Obamacare and tried to deny people coverage. I just looked at it and it fiscally did not make sense. And it hasn't from the beginning, and we're seeing that play out in real life today. And
look,
that's why I gravitate towards politicians that are fiscally sound, like a Rob Portman. You know, you can say what you say what about Rob, but Rob knows more about it. And that's why when we talk about, I think you mentioned it, Tracy, you said about our tax code. The only guy in this past cycle that was talking about a fix, he laid out a plan. He put it all out there, which is, I think, admirable, because right now what everybody does is they wait for somebody else to lay a plan, and then they attack that plan without offering their own solution. But the only guy that had a plan out there, Romney made his number two guy, and he was pillared for it. Now, he said this may not be the correct plan, but this is my blueprint for getting us back to fiscal soundness. And instead of the Democrats offering anything, they just had people believe that you could cover Obamacare and fix the deficit by raising taxes on the rich. Well, we raised taxes on the rich, and we're still broke.
Ron Paul had a plan, too. Yeah, I just didn't want to
hear. Ron, you're right.
Ron Paul had a plan.
That. Yeah, you're right. I should have clarified
Herman,
that.
Herman
only
Cain
one
had a plan, too.
With a chance to win.
Herman Cain had,
right,
a plan,
Cain
too.
Had a plan,
nine,
too.
999.
That's what,
right.
I said. Call 999.
It would have worked better at 11-11-11. I'm not on.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Am I on?
Yeah, you're both on.
Okay.
You're both on.
Oh. Sure, it'll sound like
it. Yeah,
I know.
Sound like it.
Yeah.
It sets us down.
11-11-11. It wouldn't. It would have been better, but.
No, Winky Wonky Wonky would have been better.
Well, I mean, look. That was a farce.
He should have never got out the race.
He couldn't have got out the race because look at that. I'm betting my money on Winky Wiener up in New York to win. Okay.
I'll take that bet.
I'm just
saying, Wiener ain't gonna win up there.
I'm saying
I'll take that bet.
Know,
he won't win anywhere.
Well, I disagree, because you know what? He has a whole lot of friends in the black community, and when you get inside of the inner city, you do, if you can duplicate what Obama did and over get the inner cities out to vote, you can win. And believe you me, you say, oh, God, but guess what happened?
Oh,
look
goodness.
At the map.
Because you got, because what you're talking about is factually untrue.
Oh, boy.
Whoa.
You don't know who you're talking to. That's all I can say.
No. Yeah, women. Larry.
Well, you know something.
Yesterday he told me I was a novice.
I'm being facetious.
No, I told you that you were naive if you think that you have.
That was naive.
I told you yesterday.
I was naive.
That you're naive if you think that you can create a political action committee and have the influence and the power of these big multinational corporations and these big super PACs.
He told me I was naive. So hold on, 216, how you doing? Listen, I think AJ wants to tell you something.
Well, you know something? Let me ask you this, Tracy. Okay. Let me ask you this.
No, Brown. 216, you got to come on. I don't have a kind of time.
Hello. Hi. I actually called to talk about Sloopy, but this show moves quick. So.
No. Yeah, Jeff.
But Jeff stole my answer.
Oh.
Jeff stole my answer anyway. Sloopy is a girl who lives on the poor side of town, and everybody's trying to put Sloopy down anyways. That's who Sloopy is.
I
think it's the official rock song of the state of Ohio. It's the official song.
It is, definitely.
It is.
Okay.
It's the Ohio State University.
You hear him
anyway.
At the tribe games. You hear him at the tribe
games.
You hear him at
every tribe game.
Every tribe game.
Every like, high school
game.
Band plays it.
OHIO.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So,
maybe they should change the song and the Indians could finally contend for a World Series, because it's been about 60, 70 years.
1948.
They were in the World Series in 1997.
And they lost.
But we came home with nothing.
They lost. They lost, but they were there.
All right.
Listen, hold on. Brown, hold up. Go ahead, AJ. You wanted to say something to 216.
Oh, I just wanted to say, I said it earlier, too.
He wasn't there.
Oh, just that I enjoyed. That's okay. I just wanted to say that I enjoyed talking to you the other day. I enjoy all the callers that I talk to. I loved having a conversation with you during Tracy's break when it was just the mics were open. And it seems that I've made quite a few friends on here. And 216, I only talked to you twice, I think. But I definitely enjoy talking to you and hearing what you have to say.
Oh, well, yeah, I appreciate that. Like I said, I really like when you're on the show, too. Same with Jeff and all you guys. It's a great show. It's a unique show. I love this show. Love every minute of it. I just wish I could get it in all the time. Sometimes I'm out of the area, but when I'm here, I love it.
But today's his last day.
Today is my
last day. Yeah, I heard, yeah.
Oh,
but he'll be back.
I'll be back.
How do you know he'll be back? I may not let him back here again.
Oh,
he's gonna get off on some days, those parent teacher conference days and things like that. I guarantee.
Oh, those are union days.
Yes,
okay, union days, right? Right. Yeah. Today is my last day, and I. Go ahead.
Yeah, Larry.
In closing, Tracy, and I know I got a little crazier and went nuclear, but I think until we realize that we've got real problems that are going to be painful to fix, there's no easy fix out there. You can't pay $17 trillion back easy. It ain't going to be.
But I got a question for you, Larry.
What's that?
And before you mentioned Portman, and we've been talking about 216 for a little while now. Now, nobody has mentioned I've mentioned Kasich running for president. I've mentioned we mentioned Rubio and, you know, Rand Paul and all those guys. But do you think that Portman's going to take a run?
I don't, Tracy. I think Portman would be better served not as a president. He'd be a good fiscal steward of any president to help him navigate where they need to go. I think Portman would make a great president. But I don't think he has presidential material. And I know the far right, some of our far right in the Republican Party, aren't going to support him because of his stance that he switched. He never really switched. He was always a fiscal conservative. He just happened to vote against gay rights. But when he came out in support because his son is homosexual, there's some in our party ain't going to go for that.
That's not what I asked you. I said, do you think he's going to take a run? Because they're best out there. The next Republican candidate is going to be that's what I heard.
Yeah, what's that?
I don't know what that is.
What is that? What are we hearing?
You got a little somebody sitting on a whoopee cushion.
That's what it sounds
like. What it sounds
like.
You're not ripping, are you?
I'm sorry.
If I was betting Tracy, I would bet against him, but I think he would be an ideal candidate and would make a great executive, but I don't think he'll win.
Do you think he'll run?
I'll get. Can I take a rain check on that? I'll get back with you next week.
Yeah, get back with me on that one. I just thought I'd throw that out there. You know, it's that time of year.
Yeah.
We're talking about Hillary, but my question is on the right side. Do you really think Portman's getting ready to run for it?
As he goes to his Rolodex and says, "Hey, Rob, are you going to run or not?"
I know who you are. I know who you are.
How you doing? Hey, you go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you who I got my eye on. It's Ted Cruz. This is the only reason. He has a similar tax policy as Ron Paul. He wants to abolish the IRS. And I would vote for him just for that alone. If you abolish the IRS, this economy would skyrocket. And so if he stays true to that, because he's already said he wants to abolish the TSA, who harasses us at the airports, and the IRS. If he stays with that message, and he has my vote just for that alone. I got my eye on Ted Cruz right now, senator out of Texas.
Great guy,
and I would vote for him.
Experiencing heel pain? Visit.
Oh, my goodness.
You got to love it.
Hey,
my heel hurts
radio
a little bit, but.
At least I've gotten a laugh out of all of you today unilaterally. This is good. AJ, did you want to get your shout out?
Since it is my last day, I want to thank. First of all, I just want to thank my family for supporting me in doing this. You know, this is definitely something I want to go into, and I want to do this as a career. And I just want to thank them for supporting me, and I want to thank just a few of my friends that have been, you know, listening to me and been supporting me. And I want to thank my friend Michael, and I want to thank my friend PJ and Ian. Just three amazing guys, best friends of mine, that have just always supported me and like to give me a hard time sometimes about you know, my political view or stuff like that. But they're good guys and they're good friends. And I want to thank my pastor as well for always supporting me, Pastor Jody, in this. And
he sounds like he's giving an academy. He's got just got a
well, hey, go ahead. And I want to and last I want to thank you, Tracy, and I want to thank and you, Jeff, and as well as Styx as well, just for allowing me to be here and allowing me to experience this and getting my feet wet. And it's truly been so much fun. And and I just can't wait to come back because I'm gonna miss you guys. I'll call in a few times. I'll listen. But and I want to thank the callers, and I want to thank 216. I want to thank Not So Blind Mike as well as Diva. Those are my three favorites that have called in that I've liked. And
thank you
guys, it's been a pleasure listening, and it's been a pleasure talking to you guys. Those have truly been my favorites that have called in, no doubt.
Thank you, Ray J. God bless you. Good luck
to you.
God bless.
What a nice kid.
What a nice kid he is. Very
blind Mike.
Misguided and misled politically.
Oh, man.
And I'm also impressed that you're 17 years old and you know what you want to do. Good for you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. But
takes a lot of it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm not trying to single out any callers. I like all of you guys.
No,
I love all you guys.
You can't backtrack on this.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying that those 216. I've only talked to him once or twice, but I'm like, you know what? I really like this guy. He's a good guy.
Jeez, oh, man.
God bless all of you.
Well, we had a personal conversation, too, so for a little while.
Yeah, we
there.
Did. We had a heart to heart.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
You told him not to be rushed, didn't you?
That's how I got started. His first thing he ever told me was, don't be rushed, Junior.
Hey, exactly. Eventually you'll come around to the libertarian message.
That's what we're hoping for.
Remember,
hey,
keep those hormones in check, okay?
You got that. I'm 17 years old, you know, to have hormones.
Let me say this. This is just a word of motherly wisdom to the wise. As you go through life, keep your winky under control, because if you don't, it'll kill you.
You're killing me, Tracy.
You won't be able to run for office.
No. I've been told to run. I've been told to someday run for president. I said, no, I belong behind a microphone, not in front of a podium. That's for sure.
Well, it's all the same. You can't say it's all the same.
It's all the same.
You can do this. You can do that one.
It's all the same.
That's for sure.
Hey guys, I've enjoyed having the week back with you guys. I want to thank again for everybody letting me going out and hanging out with some friends of mine out on the West Coast. It was really kind of fun out there again. Those of you who are listening to me on the West Coast, I love y'all. I do. We can't help me politically. We're politically so far apart. But
definitely.
One day y'all will quit drinking the water and y'all will come to the right side of life and figure out that I'm always right when it comes to this.
There's a reason we're called the right.
Absolutely.
Is that because we are?
We are right. Hey,
yay!
Hold on, guys. Listen, South Carolina, you got any comments you want to say out there?
Well, all I can say is, everybody have a safe weekend, and Alabama might be coming through South Carolina, so I'm going to try and...
Oh, that's cool.
You know, listen, everybody can't meet everybody and me not meet anybody. That's just sad. Jeff, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, I've been trying. If you would stay home, maybe I could go.
But now, Tracy, you went to L.A. You could have come to South Carolina, but no, you went to L.A., so that's all right.
L.A., California, yay.
Listen, I'm getting in all kinds of trouble here.
City of Angels.
Hollywood. I did not go to Hollywood while I was there.
Oh, but why didn't you go there, girl? The name is Bootsy, and we're having Jazz in the Park this weekend down in...
Oh, really?
That's
true. I've heard it all.
Hold on, guys.
We're having Jazz in the Park down at the Lincoln Park.
Any
historical Lincoln Park.
Hold on.
Brown just want to get it in.
I'm just heard
Lincoln
it all.
Lincoln Park.
We
have a guy out of Akron named Mr. John.
Brown, you going to have to cut that out because I can't do it all. I can't control you and Jeff at the same time.
That was actually a joke.
I can't do a joke on top of another joke. Because I don't know what Jeff is saying. He's trying to be Bootsy and he ain't. And I'm just trying to...
I am Bootsy.
I'm just trying to find out what's going on at Lincoln Park.
We're having Jazz in the Park. You can tell me I ain't Bootsy. We're having Jazz in the Park down at Lincoln Park this weekend, 3 to 7 on Sunday afternoon. Mr. John Morton and his quartet out of Akron, Ohio, are going to grace us with their presence. Come on down and have a fun.
Where is
301. Lincoln Park Drive, Youngstown, Ohio.
Where is that located?
That's located on the east side of Youngstown, off of Sheehy Street.
I said 301 Lincoln Park Drive. Put that in your browser, and you will be there, yeah, and you won't be square.
Okay, for the folks that don't have a browser.
Mm-hmm. They got
I do it.
It.
No, they don't.
On the east side of Youngstown, Lincoln Park.
Kate, you act like folks know what they're doing. I'm gone. You guys have a good weekend. God bless you, and we'll see you on Monday.
Goodbye, everybody. God bless you.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.